welcome to episode 3 of Comms Noise, the Star Wars Armada podcast. I'm Chris, and here with me today, we've got...
Matt.
I'm Ricky.
So you'll notice Ben isn't with us today, and in his chair, we've got another Matt, Matt Cook, who would have liked to join us before, but he's off playing other games because he thinks they're better, so... Disgust.
Terrible.
So, yeah, we've got a... decent show for you today, decent lineup. We've got to talk a bit about Worlds. So a couple of weeks later than it actually happened, we watched it on the Twitch feed, but we're going to just run through. We saw the semi-final and the final, run through a bit of that, a bit of our thoughts. There isn't too much to talk about for where that leaves the meta, because we've got, coming up in part two, some our thoughts conflict. On the Corellian conflict, which is going to change the meta both in terms of squadrons and objectives. And I'm sure Wave 5 will be... hot on the heels, but we haven't got any further previews of that than we've had before. So yeah, we're going to start off talking about Worlds. First, Matt's just going to introduce himself as a new member of the podcast. Let us know his gaming background, what he likes, doesn't like about Armada.
So yeah, I'm Matt Cook. I play a fair bit of Armada. Also play a lot of X-Wing and bits and pieces, lots of other stuff. Game background, I used to play a lot of computer games. Went and lived in Dubai for a bit. We didn't have a computer, so got a big board gaming community out there. So played a lot of board games, played a lot of X-Wing, played a lot of everything out there. And I carried on when I came back. I really want to settle in and have a really good thought out tactical game. I'm honestly what I go for. And I'm really hoping Corellian Conflict like brings an even better balance to it, so we'll see how that goes.
And a great scenario, hopefully.
Yeah. And some actual squadrons that you might need.
you don't need squadrons.
You might actually use some squadrons.
If you want squadrons, play X-Wing.
It's going too far towards squadrons. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, okay.
So, well, on that note, Worlds. <five thoughts. laughs> So, we watched the Twitch feed, as some of you may have done out there. And we watched the first semi-final. So that was two Rebel lists. I think all the top four was Rebels, right?
Yeah.
So this, but the tweets that the FFG put out on their organised play thread said that the majority of lists were Imperial. They had Reimer. They had
pretty Demolisher. Balanced, didn't they say?
Sorry,
I thought the list count was balanced, wasn't it?
I think it was 50% was of Imperial lists were Reimerable,
of course,
or more. But I think I don't know if it's but I thought there
a
were
lot
more
Recon on them.
Maybe as a split it was in total, but the actual number of build there was like 50 Reimer lists, 30 Demolisher lists, and then 10 TRC lists, and then all other stuff.
Moose running multi.
Yeah.
How do you classify like a Reimer pool
with Demolisher? Yeah, exactly.
Like it can be a number of things, right? Yeah. Or are they just saying anything that includes?
If you've got Reimer, it's Reimer.
Now a Reimer ball. Yeah.
You've got the Reimer ball. I mean, as soon as you add like multiple fire sprays, so fireball, isn't it? So I suppose that's the line. But
not seen a fireball in a long time, though. To be fair,
well, you have to have some tryhard who has 8 fire sprays. Thank you, Chris.
Four was enough to defeat you in the Southwest Regional Final. Thanks for bringing that.
Oh, that's true.
I think that was changed from Bomber Commander. We'll
see the trophy in the cabinet.
Yeah, there's a trophy right there, actually.
True. Spock's cabinet.
Yeah. Anyway, Worlds. So the first game we saw, it was the Kraken list that Stephen from IFF Intensify Forward Firepower podcast. Took and he won the Nova Open with it as well, I think, which is quite a big event in the US, so quite prestigious. And it's quite a tough list. We looked at this and were like, wow, that's hard to beat. 4 TRC 90s. I think it was a flotilla with Torin Farr, and 8 YT 2400s.
Eight,
so
someone bought a lot of rogues.
Yeah. And
we kind of thought that was it for him. We thought that he had it in the bag with that.
It's a strong list.
I'd happily play that
because you can run away really quickly. And the TRCs are really tough to kill under Kraken at 3. The rogues can actually take little just ships down on their own. Yeah. They can murder squadron things, and you don't need to activate them or push them. And he laid them out. He sort of deployed centrally, so facing forwards. But then I think because he was able to use the Corvette maneuverability to just deploy instantly into turn one, yeah, into a little sort of conga line. And then he laid all the YTs out in front. And then up against that was a Recon list, which was Gallant Haven, Yavaris, I think it was 3 flotillas, and then a ton of aces. But
they were all aces, weren't they?
Yeah, but one of the things we've never played with, we play with all the aces, but he had Tycho, which we never really play with as well with Recon, which is awesome because you can pin stuff down and make them commit an intel to him, and he won't die for the whole turn. He's really hard to kill because of his scatter, but he still won't die because of Recon because he's a character squadron.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the other A-Wing character squadron later, but that's going to be a crazy combo with those two and Recon. Just pin anything down. Well, unless you've got 3 intels, they're going to be, you're going to be able to pin stuff down.
Counter 3.
Yeah, that's grim. I think she's going to be pretty... Although you don't have to actually shoot her, you just intel her, but same time. She's hard. Yeah, don't take her on.
She's the equivalent of...
Or just kill the ship so we get the fights for free.
That's your philosophy. Yeah. We'll come to that later. So I think the Gallant Haven Recon tactic was just charge forward. Use Gallant Haven to protect your aces and fighters.
I was watching it and I was thinking, you know, TRC is brilliant. You've got the tools, you've got the maneuverability, and you've got the YC-2400s, they're great. You don't need to spot them with a ship. They run themselves. They can soak. They can jam. I thought it was his to lose.
Yeah. He threw the Mark II at it as well. He just threw it straight into all of them.
I was thinking. Like, what's he got to do? And the only way I could see Yavaris get into that was just bundling straight into the conga line, and that's what he did. And fair play to him, it worked.
I just didn't know how it lived.
Yeah, he killed the Recon player killed a couple of YTs, and then the Corvette guy tried to run away, Kraken, but. I don't quite know how he didn't kill the assault frigate.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure whether it was obstructed or whether... Did he repair order or was he...
He wasn't getting his double arcs, I don't think.
Repair, yeah. Maybe had to go too far to keep out of reach of Yavaris or something.
I think he was going... I think his conga was... Because it was a full conga, it wasn't offsetting at all.
Yeah.
I seem to remember it looked, at least from the Twitch stream, that he didn't have that many double arcs.
Right.
So there's always single arc with each one, which obviously hard to pipe out. There was a side arc as well.
Yeah.
So you want one red die as opposed to that plus a 2 red die attack as well.
Yeah.
And the way he played, was it a hyperspace assault?
Yeah.
He had the 3 takens and he managed to get one of them in.
But he had less activations to start with.
I think, I guess his plan was from the start to try and kill something and then bug out. But he never had the upper hand in terms of points because he lost those a couple of YTs.
Yeah.
And that just set him back.
I guess that's the difference as well with these tournament games at the end, because there's no points to worry about. It's just throw everything or
because we thought
get one
we?
Point up and then you're
when right, we thought with the TLCs kill something and then just run everything away. Yeah. And then win 6-5.
Yeah, but he never had that kill, so he couldn't actually do that.
I can't remember the exact situation, but I seem to remember I thought it was weird where he brought the high space sold him. Because it was at the back, but it wasn't in a position to chase. I mean, as you know, chasing doesn't work well in a line at all.
No,
unless you've got the initiative, and even then it's sketchy.
Or demolisher.
Well, yeah, but demolisher. Or if you want to play on easy mode, go for it. But I seem to recall that I saw the angle and thought, no, you've taken yourself out of the game, even though you're not really. There's not much threat to it there.
Yeah, it's
maybe there's more squadron projection than I thought.
Did we see what else were the missions? So I didn't see what else they had to pick from.
Right.
Maybe they were worse.
Possibly. I know I quite often like picking hyperspace assault because I think a lot of people hate the idea of it, and if they aren't practicing playing into it.
I think it can be one of the weaker ones, especially for that list, because it takes your activations away. It takes one of your activations out of the game.
You could bring it in after one round.
You can. I don't know. I wouldn't want to second guess the tactics on that, but you're right. It didn't seem too effective, really, because it was kind of just skimming across the back. And all the stuff in the front was taking the damage from the other TRCs. So it's just kind of splitting the damage up.
I guess the thing with having Kraken was you're great at avoiding damage from other ships, but you know the squadron list killed you because of the squadrons. So you know in that idea, he didn't really play to. He couldn't play to his general strength, and he didn't play to the strength of the objective because it was hard.
Yeah, it was a hard objective against that, and that Recon list is absolutely solid as well.
If you want to win a tournament, you need to be able to beat that list.
Well, and to be fair, I think it was probably a gamble, like a reasonable risk, because I think the Kraken player had to kill. He went for the assault frigate because he went, if I kill that, I've got enough points that I can lose a few squadrons and still edge it.
Mm.
So he went. Whereas if he kills a flotilla. And loses 2 YTs, he still lost. So I think he went for it, and it just didn't come out. The dice didn't come out his way, or whatever. So
It was nice to see Gallant Haven as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
I guess maybe our metal, we just don't see that over here so much. But
and it was popular. It was popular because I think it was in the other list in the final.
I don't think he had. It didn't have the was Gallant Haven Gallant title, Haven. But it was the
Mark II.
It was a B Mark II.
Yeah, there's talk of, again, we'll talk about it later, there's talk of shenanigans with that, with Biggs. And when does it resolve, in what order, how do the rules trigger and stuff. But we'll come to that later. So, does anyone else have any recollections of that? It ended up with Rican winning on, I think they timed out on turn five, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they timed out on turn five, and it was... it was like 120 points to like 60 or something.
It's obviously you see repainted Corvettes as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Stephen, I listen to him a lot on the Intensify Ford Firepower podcast, and he's a really good painter, really keen enthusiast. Like, really, I was really glad he got to the top four. He's a great guy. He does a lot of thinking about it. He twitches. And yeah, he's got a great game. He plays a lot. Yeah. He knows it inside out. He's a really good player, a good thinker on it as well. So I was glad he got there. And I kind of did want him to go to the final. I know his list is like... crazy good, but I did kind of want him to go to the final because Rican, you know what, you know my thoughts on Rican. Yeah, yeah. It's easy mode, and I think actually although he was
embarrassing in the opposing list with the
one. Yeah, it was Hadjivaris.
I get so tired of playing
it just had, instead of like what the way setup we've seen with either the Defiance or the Admonition, he had a Gallant Haven instead.
Thing about it is probably the setup cheaper points. Still tanky. Well, a lot of activations.
I think something you need to look at when you're playing high level tournaments. If you've got like the list that you really like, so for example, Yavaris, it's very strong. It appears in Worlds. It's been strong here for quite a while.
Yeah.
You've got to be thinking, how do I beat another Yavaris list? So when I was running Big Akbar Gunline, I changed it up for the last time I ran it. I changed it up again to beat other Akbars as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But you sacrifice somewhere else. But
yeah, you're right. And that kind of hurts my head while I'm trying to Rican.
How to out Rican.
Whoever's first. Nothing. Well, at least you know that the rule change applies to everybody. Everything just dies at the end of the turn.
It would be like a separate tracker.
Except non-character squadrons.
So that happened at UK Nationals. I remember overseeing a game that was Rican versus Rican.
Yeah.
And it came down to... It was one turn where I looked at the board and thought, oh, this guy's really up. And the turn ends and he takes off like all this stuff. An assault frigate and a Corvette. All this stuff just leaves the table. I'm like, this guy's fucked.
So. That's hilarious.
I think if you're first or second or activations, it's probably going to be the decider of a Rican versus Rican.
Yeah.
I think it's the first time I came across Rican was playing against you. I think you wiped my. You killed nothing, and you wiped my entire list of one activation. Because you had one whole point.
I was still new with the list then as well.
It was the last outing of my Akbar Gunline.
Akbar has
faded away.
Disappeared. Yeah,
that's a shame.
I'm sure it'll be back with
new waves
and So move on to the final. So this was you have the list there.
Yeah. So the
disgusting.
So the Rican went through to the final and off against General Dodonna in a assault frigate Mark IIb with flight controllers, MC-30C with the Admonition, Ordnance Experts, H-9s, and assault proton torpedoes, and then three flotillas: one Bright Hope with Torrent Fire and Bomber Command. One just Bomber Command, and one with Leia and Comsnet. And then the squadrons were 8 Y-Wings, 2 YT-1300s, and 2 Hawks. Mm-hmm. So, and that's bang on 400 points, so no bid.
Mm. Yeah. And the game was over pretty quickly, because the lists both charged each other.
He gave in, didn't he? He surrendered in the end.
He lost everything. He had like Rican had like one flotilla left, I think. Yeah. The Rican player had a flotilla, and the Dodonna guy still had basically everything. He lost the Y-Wing.
Admonition came around the flank.
Killed all the flotillas. I think, just for anyone listening who doesn't know that combo, you've got the H-9s, which means you can turn one of your dice into an accuracy. So you're going to get hits on blues.
It sounds like a waste.
It sounds like a waste, but if you're going to hit a flotilla and you've got 8 damage or 6 damage in your black pool... and they're going to flip a target token and take none, it really is not a waste to turn six damage into five, which still kills them, and not let them flip that token. Yeah. So you're right.
Bigger targets when you just take out that
brace.
The brace, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really good. And the APTs is the one where if you get a crit, you can resolve it. After defense tokens, and then you still get the damage as well, and it ignores the shield. So pretty. With Dodona, great because you can strike it lucky and get things that actually help you.
It was a shield failure. Wasn't
shield
it?
Failures or
takes haste before damage applies.
The one I've seen before that's nasty is firing an obstructed shot at somebody. Doing that and then getting the you can't fire at obstructed shots back, so they can't even fire back at you.
Yeah, especially with Kraken on the board. Like if you're running Kraken and a chance then to get them that.
Yeah, but Dodona lets you pick a bit more.
Yeah, efficiently. Yeah.
Well, Dodona's cheap as well.
I really like him at the moment.
In other words, not used that often. You don't really see it too often.
No, he generally gets taken because he's cheaper to get more points in rather than for his effect.
Just get more ships
to get 10 points more upgrades.
One more squadron.
Yeah.
But 8 Y-Wings with 2 double bomber commands, so you're always ensuring 8 that Y-Wings, ship crit. Yeah.
I think it was quite easy because the Recon guy just came straight across the board. The Y-Wings were able to go in for a bombing run without even needing the Hawks. So the Hawks just hid behind the ships. Then they were able to come out next turn and intel all of the things. And it was Gallant Haven, and they were going to take one less damage. But the Y-Wings just went, I don't care, I'm intelling, I'm just going to shoot you. Hit crit, bomber command, Dodona picking the crit that you want.
Double damage.
8 of them.
As often as possible, I guess, as well.
Just smashing one arc. It didn't last very long.
Did it survive one salvo of that?
I think it survived. Because they moved out. Four of them moved out with a commander, or five or six or something, and shot it and blew the shields off. And then all the squadrons moved in to pin them down. And then the Hawks just jumped out.
And then
eight of them shot again and straight into the hull.
Yeah, I think I remember him conceding after he'd lost his Gallant Haven and a couple of flotillas. Yeah,
there's not much he could have done at that point.
Oh, no, Yavaris was dead as well. I think Yavaris and then admonition killed Recon on the flotilla. And that was that.
But if you're gonna put your admiral on the smaller ship, Rose.
Yeah.
There's a big trend for that, isn't it? It's a big trend people trying to put admirals on flotillas.
That is a big trend, yeah. Yeah, especially with looping at the back. But the admonition, I think he manoeuvred it really, really well. It was like hanging on the side, just to the side of the joust. Straight forward, and then it just actually went slowly. A lot of people just pile in, smash it in, and then come around the back. It went in at speed two and just kept turning, and it was able to turn the flank into the back of the flotillas, like where Recon was hiding. They just roll up the flotillas, kill the first one, and then kill Recon, and then it would have had the game continued. It would have just gone straight through the other one as well. So
it would have been nice to have seen some other games of that list.
It would, yeah. But it seems super powerful. Like, it's got admonition, amazing. But that wiring thing is just nuts, and you probably can't run away from it because admonition can give chase, I guess, and the assault frigate can go at speed 3 and take all the Y-Wings along with it and blow you away with the Y-Wings. So
I'd say it's going to be quite common to see a load of Y-Wings from here, but it's going to change shortly, so we just don't know. It's still going to be strong, but there may be something even stronger.
So congratulations to all those guys who played, and particularly the winning list. I think it was all US guys in the final, wasn't it? Which was we won the Netrunner. I don't know how to play Netrunner, so I can't take any pleasure in
Europe on the X-Wing, so
Europe. Yeah. UK got a guy into the semis, didn't we? Or was it quarters? The guy with the
semis. Ben Lee.
Yeah, he had the Mandalorian.
Really nice guy.
This thing.
I watched Dodger a few times in X-Men tournaments, rejigging other rounds and such.
Yeah. They were all good players, but
yeah.
I watched a bit of that. So I think it was...
Enjoyed their Recon card as well.
Yeah, their two Recon cards and their sheet. And their sheet I think, is it 12 you get on a sheet? I just bought one on eBay for £20, so like 12.
Straight,
200. Yeah, if it's not, yeah.
Wait, did you bought a sheet of them?
No.
I didn't
buy a sheet. It's
going to be jaggedy.
I could put the sheet down in my admiral. It's like all 12. This is my admiral. Yeah. No, I did not. So, but yeah. fair bit of money in those prizes. I'm interested to see what card he designs as well.
It's weird because you kind of design a card looking backwards. Of course, in the game, it's constantly evolving. Mm. So previous world champions in other games, they've had some cards that have come in and just done nothing.
Yeah, you must sign an NDA with them though. They say, look, this is what's on the horizon, and you can have any of these options. Yeah, you go to them with an idea, and they go, well, yes, but we'll morph it into here, and we'll fit it in here.
Yeah, I think
it must work.
Paul Heyman designing a card for the X-Wing. When he's like Boba Fett.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they have a list of card names that are coming up. Haven't yet signed abilities to.
Okay.
So you kind of get to pick. You know, obviously they've got to commission the artwork.
Yeah.
Et cetera. So actually,
did you say you get to be in a background as well?
Imagine the Gathering.
What? Maybe they should do tradition that. Was when so Imagine the Gathering started the tradition of designing a card.
Okay.
And,
good.
And the person who won had their face on the card. So, like, if you designed... So, remember one of them, it was, like, Dark Confident, and it was, like, this cultist wizard guy. Yeah. And the guy's face was the cultist wizard guy.
Mm.
So we were saying...
How bad is that if they're like, oh, I've got this guy's face, we have to use it, what kind of card are we going to put it on?
Paul Heavers is under a Boba Fett helmet, so it doesn't matter. It could not be him.
Or is he the Aquilish getting squashed into the ground? It's hard to tell.
Who knows?
If he's listening, anti-Intel. That is the one that needs to be made.
Make a card that stops 8 Y-Wings, 2 Hawks,
just and 3 Bomber Commands. Intel out would be perfect, I think. Just needs to be something to cancel Intel.
Interceptor, Fly Controller, smack.
Or, doesn't always work.
Kill everything.
Yeah. If it just made move away, it would be alright. But the fact you can still attack ships for it, just...
It's tricky.
It just changes the game. It was needed though, because fighters before were just you just dumped them both into each other and they just killed each other and that was it.
Mm.
You never got to actually do any bombing.
I used to get away with taking like 3 A-wing squadrons and they jam everything for 2 turns.
Yeah,
and that's half the fighting game gone.
Nothing.
I think if it was an expensive little squadron that just made Intel irrelevant or something like that.
That what Snipe is going to do?
Well, no, it's in just a way, like you shoot at it from a range.
Because at the moment, the problem with dealing with Intel is that you normally have to shoot the escort that's next to the Intel.
But if
you can snipe the Intel.
Depends, because you can put the escorts in front and the Intel behind.
Yeah.
The only way you could get the Intel is if you had enough moves to jump all the way over
and then
the
snipe,
escorts and then just shoot them normally, which is the case now anyway. Mm. Yeah.
You don't even bring your Intel in until it's like the time.
I don't know. Yeah, I want to see though, because...
Yeah. Yeah,
I think Snipe will be.
It'll change the way towards it. It'll change things up a bit
to shoot Reimer.
Yeah,
to shoot the Inter.
Where we are with the meta right now is just 134 points of squadrons every time,
and it's not going to change. We know that.
You can just put your intel down and pile all your dice into the front of something and it dies.
Just think how many more ships you could have for 134 points.
and then the 134 points of bombs will kill those ships.
Yeah,
yeah, sometimes.
And
sometimes.
You might, if you're lucky, you might do a couple of hull damage. You might do a couple of AA damage on them.
Just kill the ships.
You might kill one bomb and get 9 points back.
Your MOV. We are going into the second part.
Oh,
what we're talking about. Yeah.
Well, no, we're talking about what the meta is now, is after Worlds. Where does that leave Worlds? Where does Worlds leave the meta? But actually, it's kind of irrelevant because we've got new stuff coming.
We don't know what 5's coming with, really, but it still comes with another set of fighters.
Yeah.
Very good fighters. Cards are in Corellian Conflict. So heavy squadron is not going to change for a while. Maybe that's the way it's going to be. It's just there's always going to be... You need a lot. You need the full...
Hoping that we'll come to this in the next part, which we're nearly at, but hoping that the new objectives might change.
Maybe,
as well. Because a lot of the thing... For me, a lot of... Not so much in Wave 3 or 4, but in Wave 2, one of the things that made the fighter list great, like the Rhyming Ball, was that there was a set of 3 objectives. Precision Strike, Superior Positions, and Contested Outposts.
Yeah, you couldn't get away
from it. Basically, all 3 of them are terrible options for your opponent. So yeah. I used to just go second. They pick one... They're either 120 points down for Contested Outposts.
Yeah.
Great. Any game you play where you're getting a 25% of the points head start is going to be hard to win. Precision Strike, a terrible option for them. Unless they've also got Squadron Heavy. And then Superior Positions, a terrible option for them.
If they've got Bombers, then it's just good for both. But then it's even playing field.
No, that's Superior Positions deploying. You're seeing all their deployment.
You see their deployment, but they still get the points from the shooting in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have a roamable and they have three ships and three A-wings
or four A-wings. Yeah,
like, if you've got loads of rogue fireballs going around just going to put two dice into their back in every shot, then...
Awful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so in summary, Worlds prove that fighters are awesome.
Mm.
Intel is...
Great.
A little bit too dominant, perhaps.
Rican didn't win.
Rican didn't win. That's interesting. Dodonna did, actually. Yeah,
Dodonna won.
Said Dodonna would have won. Yeah. That's good. But he did have eight Y-wings.
Eight Y-wings.
Can't really say it wasn't a squad.
Could have done with more, you know, maybe 12.
So, yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back to look at some of the preview articles that FFG have released since we last were on the air. Hello, welcome back to Comms Noise. We're going to talk about now the Corellian Conflict Squadrons that were out in an article FFG released a couple of weeks ago.
Draw their fire.
So, first up for the Rebels is Rogue Squadron. It's worth noting it's unique because it has a dot. So you can only have one. So you can't make all your X-Wing squadrons like this, which is unfortunate. So it's standard X-Wing stats, 3 speed, 5... Is that called a hull for squadrons? Or damage
hit
for
points
squadrons?
Or hit points? We know what we're talking about.
It can take 5 damage before it dies. Damage. It's got four blue anti-fighter, 1 red anti-ship. It's a bomber, so the crits add to damage total and resolve crit effect against ships. But it's different to normal X-Wings because it's rogue and it's 1 point more.
Has no escort.
Yeah.
It has no escort. Yeah. Rogue. Very good point.
Rogue squadrons have time to be escorted people. They do their own thing.
So what do people think about that? I think generally, if you're going to have X-Wings, you probably will have this for one of them, unless they're specifically there just to escort.
It tends to be what they're used for anyway. So when I first saw it, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
But as I've seen the other ships coming out, and
yeah,
I just don't... Maybe if you've got 14 points, you just need to blow on something.
It's not particularly exciting, is it? I guess
no.
You might use it, Matt, and you're like, I don't want to push squadrons. I hate pushing squadrons.
I absolutely love this card. I mean, those of you who've played against me know that I don't run a huge amount of squadrons. I always... If you didn't have no squadrons, I still got an anti-fighter plan. Usually that's mostly run away at high speed. But no, I just dislike it in a game where the theme is running large ships, throwing broadside each other, going for the long-term outmaneuver, heritage sacrifice, all my kind of interesting actions. Like imagine squadrons. So this is why I'm really excited.
But it lets you like preempt stuff, and it lets you do cool things to them, like flight control them.
Oh yeah, like, no, for sure. I think it's right that you have upgrades to ships that are controlled squadrons. Add benefits to them other than just making them work.
Yeah.
So anything that brings rogues, I think we're going to cover. Does the ghost be covered? Are we covering it in the future at some point?
The what? Sorry,
the ghost.
That's wave five. We don't know too much on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, anything that's got rogue runs itself. Means I can run it as a squadron properly.
But the 2400 is 2 points more expensive, and you can have as many as you want. And it has a black for a ship.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
I just think that's better in every way.
Except for the fluff.
The fluff.
Nobody wants to be playing Star Wars and watching, you know, 8 YT-3400s. No, you want a rogue squadron coming in.
They throw somebody away. You want a wave of Y-wings and 2 hawks flying at you, right? That's Star Wars.
What's wrong with the Y-wings?
Isn't the 2400s? Are they speed 4 as well?
Yeah,
they are speed 4.
So yeah,
the black amazing.
So when you compare this to those, you just
this is 2 points less.
If you can't afford one, you can get the cheaper one. That's all it's for, I think.
Yeah.
It's not great.
But in the campaign, you get veterancy bonuses for your unique squadrons. So. Okay.
Recon gets to use it. That's a bonus. That's about the only rule.
So, Recon. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Recon.
Yeah, another zombie X-Wing.
Another zombie X-Wing.
And it's not
because it's not escort, you could use other X-Wings to escort it.
Great. Smart. That's what you wanted to
keep it alive.
top tech there.
Or... But you throw damage onto it for bigs, and then they can't.
No, you can't. It's not an escort.
We'll get to bigs later.
Yeah.
Right.
So all of that basically means is that the
bigs
imperial run, the imperial one of that is actually a lot better, I think. Yeah. So this is Black Squadron.
Black Squadron, which is basically a TIE fighter, but it gains counter 1 and escort, but it has no swarm. So I don't know.
1 point more.
So yeah, escort is going to die in like one salvo, but that's still a shot that has to be done.
They'll die. You know, run alongside Dengar.
Exactly. I was going to say, that's what I like this for. Just because it's a one, it's, I know it's only one escort, but it helps you position. I like playing Dengar a lot, so it helps you position so that it's one extra shot that you, they can't assassinate Dengar with, and the counter rounds as well, just to help.
And it's do what, more damage. 3 points cheaper than a Tie Advance.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I'd definitely run this over a Tie Advance, but. How much hull is a Tie Advance? What, five?
Five, yeah.
Mm. So this is
take an extra shot.
This will die quick, but
if it doesn't, it's very annoying.
I just think it's cool to be annoying, and it's 9 points. Like that's cheap. It's just so cheap.
You may as well take that over just a standard tie, just to.
Yeah, again, unique, a one-off. So.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't find one,
it's not going to make a huge difference to the game. Let's be fair. Yeah. It's just the like.
Whoa!
It may save you that.
Yeah, in a year's time, we'll talk about Worlds 2017. Who would have thought at Black Squadron,
Chris Roberts gets knocked out in the finals of Worlds?
Worlds are in May, not a year's time. 6 months because they're changing the track.
Yeah.
That's the issue you had with the part about you getting knocked out by fair enough.
Right. I mean, obviously that's going to happen. Obviously, I'm going to get to World's Final with Black Squadron in my
list. Just Black Squadron and a large bit.
And it's going to be down to Black Squadron that I got there.
Black Squadron and the flotilla and just...
Boop. Right, well, those two are the kind of naughty ones. Now we're on to a bit more exciting. So we've got Sabre Squadron, which is the Interceptor special. Again, it's unique. So it's a normal Interceptor stats with 5 speed... 3 damage, 4 anti-squadron, 1 blue anti-ship, so 4 blue anti-squadron. It's still got swarm, but it loses counter from the normal interceptor, but it's got snipe 4, which is the first time we've seen snipe on a card. So you can attack squadrons at distance 2 with anti-squadron armament of 4 blue dice. This attack ignores counter. So it's the same. You can attack normal stuff with your normal thing with... 4, but you can also snipe at 2 with 4, but it ignores counter. But I think it's at, because it's at distance 2, if they're closer, if they're in the band of 1, because I think at means you have to be somewhere in that band, you have to be touching that band.
So we assume you can't snipe if you're inside.
So if you're in, if they're inside you, you can't snipe if they're inside you in your range.
It's like clarified somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's in the rule, it doesn't need to be clarified, because it's just at means. It's specifically defined in the rules.
Most clarifications appear to be someone saying just read the rules.
Yeah. Let's have a little look at the rule book.
What's interesting is like snipe is the right distance what Reimer should have been.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but it'll never change. So why dream? Yeah. So it's 12 points, which is 1 point more. What do people think about that? Any thoughts?
I think its real value is that swarm as well. I think. If you engage with your main bulk of your fighters, this one just sits on the periphery. I mean, because you've got speed 5,
mm-hmm.
It's not rogue, is it? It's got speed 5, it's got snipe 4. You nip it all over the place, take it out, targets.
Stuff off that has counter, so you don't have to take the last counter.
How does it interact with escort?
Same as normal.
You have to snipe the escort.
Because you're not going to be engaged with the escort.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. You're not engaged with the escort.
If you're further than 1, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, so this is the anti-intel thing.
Okay.
Only
if they play position there.
This is what's going to be in E-Wings and stuff as well.
Well, you think it's 2 isn't that far. Word. It's like, it doesn't add that. It adds just over an inch more or something.
Yeah.
But it's
speed 5, it can make a difference. Yeah, because if it was speed 3, you could position stuff so it can't come in. But 5, it can basically go where it wants to. So
I think it'll be amazing for a while.
Yeah, it's only one though. I guess if you took flight controllers in, dump something else in so that it can swarm.
There's bound to be more than just
six blue dice. I think
the main snipe, but I think they're. Yeah. Again, that's wave 5 again, isn't it?
Wave 5 bring more snipers into it. I think
snipe 4 is an abnormally high number for snipe value as well. Yeah. I think this will work very nicely, just like ringing around the outside. I mean, what was it? How many points is it?
12.
12 points. Right? If they want to divert a significant portion of whatever they're carrying to deal with this, again, you've won. Well, the little kind of mini battle you've got with your little fighters going on, by the way. It all adds up.
Cool. So, verdict on that. We think that's good. Anyone think that's not good?
No.
Nay.
I'd like to see an action first before I really.
Yeah.
Like, I think Snipe could be big, but let's see.
Sabre Squadron's Sintir Fell's squadron, right?
Yeah. Well, they were the one at first, but I'm not sure where come from. The Wikipedia.
Got a lovely blood red stripe as well.
Do we think we can add blue dice to snipe as well?
No.
You need just a set number.
No, you're right. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to.
No, I don't think because it doesn't count as an anti-squadron armament, does it?
No, I think you're right. Yeah, so you can only have...
Oh, actually, no, it does. With an anti-squadron... I don't know. You've got to see how the things...
But you get to re-roll with Swarm on it, so...
Got to see
how... And it's an attack. How runner would work with it, because it's an attack.
Yeah.
Well, I'd have to actually see how runner's card to see how...
Isn't it another squadron engaged with...
No, it's a squadron within one of you gets another dice when it attacks.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah.
We got it here.
maybe we'll just look this up.
Later on the next
one. Yeah. Next episode, folks. Email us.
How we broke the game.
I'll tell you what, I'll look it up while you move on, Matt, and tell everybody else about the next Interceptor Squadron.
So then Sina Re, I don't know how we're meant to pronounce this.
Siena Re?
It's a hard C like in Latin.
Who cares?
Anyway, so it's an interceptor. Standard interceptor stats. So it's counter to swarm. It has a brace scatter token, 17 points, and the special text is while you're defending, the attack is treated as obstructed, which seems pretty amazing. In terms of, you know, if you shoot something and it counters, it's going to counter for one less. If you're running around trying to pick on squadrons, they're going to come back at you less viciously. But I mean, three hull, you know.
And it does make her effectively immune to most AA.
She's got
scatter and stuff. I mean, still, I think Wedge, you know, will come in and he'll be like, I'll take five dice instead of six and I'll still kill you. Because you can still get the two tokens and three damage. But,
it's a shame it didn't stack with, like, the radar jammer.
I've seen the question posed. It's my understanding that this ability, as it says, like when defending attacks obstructors, this isn't giving you like a type of ability for free on the slide. Like you can still be engaged and locked into the position.
Hmm.
It just means all this means, I think, is you losing a die. The attacker's losing a die.
Yeah. But I've seen a lot of people on forums
saying you can't be engaged.
Spend it is.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because it's only the attack. It's only when you're defending, right? And when you're moving, you're not defending.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you're not.
I agree. So, and that's 17 points.
Yeah.
How's that compare to Soon TFL?
No one compares to Soon TFL. Oh, yeah, this game, yeah, sorry.
1 point less than Soon TFL.
I think Soon TFL is a bit of that. You build your little techie fighter list around it. And I've seen some quite good 60-point, very efficient for the points you're spending builds.
Yeah.
With Modern Mythos and TFL.
Yeah.
Tire Advanced. I think you'd build it just differently with her.
Yeah. She's just a survivable, annoying interceptor, isn't she? But the great thing about interceptors is they do loads of damage, so they can be really... They're not just like they hang around and do nothing back to you.
Isn't there a new one that can't be hit if something else is nearby engaging?
Yeah, well,
that would be quite good.
So I've looked up Howlrunner, and the wording is, while another friendly squadron with swarm at distance one is attacking a squadron, it may add one blue die to its attack pool.
Okay, so you can stack five.
I think it works for five. Yeah.
What about the flight controller's wording?
You guys!
So you think you get six?
Right. Fortunately, I think I can...
If anybody's rolling intercept die, not rolling six attack, they did it wrong. Wedge coming in with six. All your interceptors coming in with six. But eight.
Flight controllers, the anti-squadron armament of each squadron you activate is increased by one blue die until the end of the activation.
So maybe that one won't work on
that one.
That
one doesn't work.
That probably doesn't work. Alright.
Although you only get five blue die.
Just five.
Re-roll. Five of the reroll, I know.
Okay.
Any more on Sienna?
So what's the white wing?
She's
a bit kind of meh, isn't she?
Well,
I think she's cool as like a thorn in the side. She's not like game changing, or you're not going to build a list around her. I'd just chuck her in to be a bit annoying.
Well, if you combine it with Saber Squadron, you have Saber Squadron sniping around the outside, maybe have her holding it up, but then you're looking, you've got two trim dice.
That's a lot of points for what you can do. Just like, it feels like now we get activations for cheap, we could just get cheaper squadrons.
Yeah. Well, I guess
like we look at the world's final list with all those generics.
No one's attacking.
When it comes
oh, you're instructed. I don't care because I'm putting a black dice into your ship.
Yeah. So when it comes down to it, you know, you want to save the points here and there,
yeah,
and then save up for more squadrons. And having said that, I think the next one is amazing and will be an auto include for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Well. Captain Jonas.
Here's one to build a list around, isn't it?
Is that me? Speed 4, hull 5, one black anti squadron, one black ship. So that's the same as a normal bomber, isn't it?
It normally gets blue anti squadron, doesn't it?
No, I think it's black. Black
anti-squadron. Oh, okay.
Yeah, bombers are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, right.
You got your anti ship missiles and your anti squadron missiles.
Just the same.
While a friendly ship is attacking a ship at distance one of you, it may change one die to a face with an accuracy icon. Bomber, grit, and heavy. Two brace tokens for 16 points. So same cost as Reimer. So he's pretty tidy.
Pretty tidy. It's anti-flotilla tech.
You do need your H9s anymore.
Demolishing Jonas just rolling in hey, it's Jonas.
Next to flotillas.
I want
to
shoot that flotilla over there. He's like, okay, bro. I'll give you that accuracy.
I'll target it on it. Yeah. The thing I like about him as well is he's got grit. So you have to, if you want to like invest pinning down,
you have to really invest.
And also, the other thing I like about him is you don't actually have to move and shoot him. So you don't even have to push him. Yeah, it's nice to get the black die from him, but you're actually mainly using him for the accuracy. So he just needs to move to wherever you think.
Mm.
They're going to, if you've got first turn a demolisher, just go and put him next to whatever demolisher is going to shoot at next.
Yeah.
I suppose if you can get your demolisher just to have a token just to send them off in front of you wherever you're going to
Yeah, you can do that as well. Like Comsnet demolisher as squadron token or something. Or Tarkin. Yeah. Tarkin it as squadron token.
But yeah, no, I think it's great. Like, and just if you're running like an ISD, a heavy hitting ISD, almost anything. You want to have Jonas in there.
There's nothing more annoying than rolling eight die and you don't have leading shots and you don't roll an accuracy.
Yeah. there is more annoying than doing it without having shots. Doing it with leading shots
and still not
rolling. Re-roll it.
Yeah.
I've seen people do that against my flotillas after I messed up. And it's, yeah.
Frustration.
Yeah. I was alright with it.
I'm still quite tanky.
Yeah.
I'd say I'm looking forward to Captain Jonas, but I think he'll just be in so many lists. Okay, I don't know that. But it's so obvious, isn't he?
We were saying like flotillas seem to be a massive part of it now.
It's a good counter, and
like flotillas sort of pushed Demolisher out of the way because now.
But it'll push Demolisher back in.
And now Jonas will be like, "Hey, Demolisher, come back."
What else relies on certain tokens that would be vulnerable to having an accuracy potentially? Corvettes, cracking Corvettes, a lot of the redirects, so you can smash into the hull.
I guess a long range, if you can make sure that you can cancel the evade of something, to just like those TRCs nipping away at you and you can't do anything back because they're just evading everything.
Yeah,
I think it was the AF2, it's got a very suite of tokens, it's only got one of each, So no, this is why you always put that ECM on it.
They aren't 72 points, they're 77 points with ECM. 79 points with ECM.
I've run about ECM before.
Look at the finals list without ECM. It does get done.
What happened to its final?
Yeah, but you got
didn't get scratched. And everyone's
nothing should be happening because they've taken eight black rerollable dice, two-time rerollable dice, with you picking the crits.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, we've done that section.
He's going to be a good ship. He's going to be good.
So then the next is another TIE Bomber Squadron, but this is Gamma Squadron. Pretty much... same stats as before.
Just got
bomber with grit instead of heavy. Again, unique. 10 points. I think I'm definitely going to switch out one bomber for this.
Definitely. Yeah.
Agree. Just to have grit. You know, if your intel goes pop, and also because you don't have heavy. Not having heavy. It's amazing.
Emergency lockdown of someone.
Yeah, it's going to definitely going to have a lot more unique cards on my side of the table now for squadron wise. When you fly Reekon, you have the eight lined up. But now you've got to remember, you know, that one's Gamma Squadron.
Yeah.
These are some normal bombers. This one's Jonas.
Well, you get it on the title, don't you? You get it on the title, but
there are variations in helmet covering.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, next we've got Biggs. He's probably the one I'm looking forward to the most. It seems a bit like almost combo-y though. Like it seems a bit almost...
it's Biggs and Wedge.
A bit just nasty. But I think the way that the wording works is actually... He won't necessarily be as bad as we first thought when we looked at him. Because you can't just put it round to everybody till everybody's got one. You can only take one out of the pool, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So before we carry on, he's same as a normal X-Wing, speed 3, 5, 5 hull, 4 blue anti-squadron, 1 red anti-ship. So the other X-Wing guys have black anti-ship, he still just has red. Before a friendly squadron with escort at distance 1 suffers damage during an attack, you may reduce the total damage by 1. If you do, choose a friendly squadron with escort at distance 1. That squadron suffers 1 damage. He's got bomber and escort, 2 brace tokens, 19 points. So,
he's great.
He's amazing, right? Potentially. But you can't... I think when we saw it first, we thought, oh, maybe you could have 5 X-Wings and get them all down to 1 health before any die, but it isn't necessarily the case.
Was it the YT-1300 as well?
But, you can do the other YT. Yeah, that's horrendous. Just pink nick all the damage off the X-Wings and stick it on YT-30.
Oh, well, of course, for the damage that's left, you could, you know, have Jan sat there being drawn, so that's also going to be more damage.
Gallenhaven and Jan, that's going to really knock down the damage.
Yeah, so the key thing comes here with the wording in it, and because I think you have to apply defence tokens before you apply damage, you can't say, oh, we've got it, you've got 2, I'll brace it to 1, you take nut. You can do it that way, but you can't, like, you can't do 3 damage down to... You can embrace it to 2. You still take 1. You
brace it to 2 damage.
Yeah, you're still going to take 1. Bigs,
so 1 comes off exactly, and goes onto another ship.
I'm not speaking 1. Very well.
Yeah, but then if you're hit by 2, brace to 1, then you can take that, and he's literally been taking no damage.
Yeah.
I think, with him, I think you can do that.
I think it's a good ability, but like you say, spikes can get through it because it is only that 1 damage you can take off.
And it doesn't need to
more. If you go with Gallenhaven and stuff as well, Gallenhaven and Jan and all the rest of it, then it does make an extra.
So effectively, with Gallenhaven, say you've got 3 damage incoming.
Yeah.
You use a brace token, brace it down to 2. You pass 1 off using Biggs' ability. Now, I believe that one, that's going to take it because it says suffer, it's not from an attack. But the one that Biggs is still taking...
That's right, yeah.
Gallenhaven stops that.
So Gallenhaven is before
a friendly squadron. The one you pass, that gets passed because it suffers that damage. Back, yeah. The one you still take, so effectively Biggs gets hit with 3 damage. One other person takes 1 damage. That's what happens at the attack.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a tanky escort, isn't it?
There was some chat about because Gallenhaven reduces it, can you pass the damage off and then Gallenhaven reduces it? Like you said, because it suffers and Gallenhaven's only in an attack.
That's a clue.
And also it does nothing to Mauler, who just does it when he moves.
I do hope they don't what's it, errata that fact that Gallenhaven can't do it when the wording's clear. They will.
Yeah. But he can make your, again, like you say, it can, unless they do something about Intel. Kind of pointless because you can just start 8 Y-Wings into an arc and go, oh, Big soaks the damage up, does he? Does he soak up this damage on your ship with my Y-Wings that I picked the crit for? Yeah. That I can re-roll twice? No, he doesn't. But I think he makes, like, insanely resilient.
I think insanely resilient. Any time you see card art with a guy's rocking a moustache like that, you know it's serious.
He's got the porn tash. Is Biggs the guy who, like, takes... one of the TIE fighters in the first new he draws all their fire on there, because he does that like an X-Wing as well, doesn't he? You have to shoot him if you can instead of somebody else.
But X-Wing ability is if someone's shooting somebody at range one of Biggs, then they have to shoot Biggs instead
So it's fluff.
It's been FAQ recently, but the fluff's very similar.
So he just draws people's fire.
I hope they put a little bit more design thought into Biggs for this game system, because I think it was for the good old days when they didn't realise X-Wing was going to become a thing. These abilities are fairly robust, but now everything has to be play tested as if, okay, how does this interact with Biggs? Some games just lock you out, that's it.
He is in so many lists now.
He's really strong.
Fewer now, but anyway, that's an X-Wing issue.
Let's hope that he, like you say, they've play-tested him better in this, but he does look insanely strong.
Yeah.
From an anti-fighter perspective. Mm. I mean, he does nothing to...
We say anti-fighter, you take a load of X-Wings, he's a bomber.
Yeah.
You're going to have loads of other X-Wings, which are all bombers. Yeah. A couple of bomber commands. It's going to be a... Just spam X-Wings.
X-Wing, do what it should be. Versatile multi-role fighter.
It will do well.
Yeah.
He's freaking ace.
Okay, all right, next. And then next we have rocking a TIE Fighter squadron is Valen Rudor. I don't know if that's the...
I have no idea who he is.
Valen Rudor.
That's the one.
Valen Rudor. Where's he from?
Is he from Star Wars? Star Wars Rebels at any point? In X-Wing, he flies a TIE Advanced prototype.
But here maybe. He is just in a TIE Fighter squadron.
Yeah.
Who knows?
He's similar stats.
Ben's not here to know.
yeah, Ben would know.
similar stats to a standard TIE Fighter, but his anti-fighter armament is 3 black dice instead of 3 blue.
Mm-hmm.
And his special text is, while an enemy squadron is engaged with you with another squadron, it cannot attack you, which is pretty great. And then he's got a brace and a scatter token. All for 13 points.
He's going to take a long time to kill.
Mm.
And he works with... what's that raider title that you used on me the other day, Matt? Insidious.
Instigator?
Instigator.
So
I think he works with that.
Things at range 1 count as being engaged by 2 squadrons.
Yeah, so then if it's just him...
So then you have to burn down the raider before you can kill this guy.
That's right.
I'm just loving the idea of him on the comms, so the other TIE fighters being, you are escorts. I know it doesn't say on the card, but...
yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just another TIE fighter, and he's that cheap as well for 13 points.
And 3 blacks.
That's really consistent.
Oh, well, 3
blacks.
Yeah,
3 blacks. And he's got swarms, he can reroll one of them most of the time.
Yeah.
Mm. And he's just another brace scatter, which is hard to kill, annoying.
It's just like almost guaranteed 3 damage every time.
Yeah, he'll go with Hellrunner.
Yeah, so you're going to get a nice. Yeah. 3 blacks and a blue, the classic anti-fighter.
You could have 3 blacks, 2 blues with fight controllers and Hellrunner, and reroll one of them.
Just try and go for the target lock as well.
Or the while throwing your wing breaks into the past.
Does that get around counter as well? Because it cannot attack you, because counter is an attack.
Yes, it will.
So you can't counter it either?
No.
Oh, brutal.
So he's just there to kill counter shit.
He's just good to...
Normally they would have that clause. That would say something like, aside from a counterattack, but it doesn't say that.
So, that's
going to be epic. It has to be epic now.
No, I like it.
Cannot attack you.
He's strong for the points.
So
what,
he cancels all count. Well,
but
he's a one-off.
He's still a TIE fighter. It's 13 points. You know. even with
Mr. No Squadron.
When I fly squadrons, I have to fly a lot of interceptors and TIE fighters, and you can smash someone's fighter out of the way, but even if they haven't got AA, proper AA, you can suddenly find you get wiped by a few single shot AA rolls.
He's vulnerable to AA, but he's got a brace and a scatter, so he's not going to be using the brace and the scatter on any other attacks because he's not going to get shot.
I think he's very good at the fighting game, but
and he's good. Like,
if you win the fighting game, what's he now doing for your list?
You get good bang for your buck with him with fight controllers, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree.
He just go around and just torch stuff and you can't do anything about him.
I don't know if he adds enough to the fighting game. Well, he's the way that I remember a fighting game.
Yeah, I mean, he's 13 points, which is 2 more than a regular interceptor.
Yeah.
He's pretty tidy.
That's more rules to remember in the middle of the game as well.
You're right.
Taking a long-term tournament and, rules fatigue.
You're right.
I think he's an excellent card.
If you're gonna have a little wing that goes after squadrons, he's well worth having in it.
Yeah.
If you're just gonna bomb and don't care about
squadrons. I like the card. I'm going off it more and more. You know, you got this ability where you're forcing people to attack the other ships around you, but you're the one who's out defensive tokens.
Yeah. Right. You're saving those for the AA.
Save the inevitable AA. And crushing AA.
Yeah.
Or the inevitable and crushing, you're the last guy alive point.
Yeah. I think 13 points is about right.
Yeah, isn't it? There's one thing that's missing from this card, I think, is just a ridiculously good moustache. He's got no facial hair.
Imperial regulations.
So, yeah.
Got a nice, so maybe that's why Biggs joined the rebellion. Like, he's like, I really believe in the Empire and its causes, but they won't let me have a moustache.
What's the background story on Biggs? Was he like...
Oh, he was Luke's child of Fred growing up. So basically, Biggs was the... He's the cool kid.
They used to shoot rats together.
Yeah, Luke could shoot them, but Biggs was properly good at shooting them. Biggs went away to join the Alliance. Luke had to keep working on his parents' farm because, you know, he's basically a whiny school kid, Luke, isn't he? Biggs was off saving the universe. Interesting fact, Biggs was almost an ace on his first mission out. Took 4 kills in his first ever combat mission for the Rebel Alliance.
Ooh.
Did someone say he's force sensitive, possibly?
No. He's not got time for that. He's just really good at flying.
He's just got a great moustache.
I swear there was an Expanded Universe book at some point where Luke films things like test how force strong people are. They didn't call me Clorians because the book was before that film. Anyway, test Wedge. Wedge goes, okay, I'll be tested. Yeah, negative. Yeah, I just like, you know, practice. Maybe you should try it. Yeah.
Don't always rely on the force. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe use targeting computer and the force, Luke.
Yeah. Oh, that Luke.
Extra accurate.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, he's cool, but jury's out on him. So
yeah.
Next is Shara Bay.
Poe's mum. Is that right?
I think so.
Poe Dameron's mum?
Poe Dameron's mum, I think.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Cast
this lineage. Shara Bay, maybe Poe Dameron's mum. Which what we do know is she flies in an A-Wing squadron.
Well, she flies in an arc in an X-Wing. Anyway.
She's Armada. Yeah. She flies an A-Wing squadron, which is the same as a normal A-Wing squadron. 5 speed, 4 health. 3 anti-fighter blue, 1 black anti-ship. When performing a counterattack, each crit icon adds 1 damage to the damage total. And she has counter 3. Yeah. She has an evade and a brace. Sorry, scatter and a brace. And 17 points she costs. So, again, she's almost like the other guy. She's really nasty and hard to kill and you don't want to heart her or anything. But actually just ignore her.
Yeah, I think she's costly for a ship to ignore.
Just kill her with flak and hope for the best. Because counter 3, where...
You'll take more damage from her most of the time.
Each die is, what, 75%?
If she's near Torrent Far.
Yeah, that would be a 75% to do.
It's effectively just exactly the same as if you'd said you have black
counter. So that's 2.25 expected damage, is it? Yeah. For each counter attack.
Basically, if you get 1 or less, you should feel robbed by the stats genie.
So in Rican's Aces, this
and Tycho, and then you go and pin the two ends of the line and go, well, it's going to take forever to kill me because I've got evade and I'm going to burn you with counters.
If stats bashing, it's important to realise, like, obviously, I love the blue die because there's no black side.
Yeah.
And if your crit suddenly counts as hits against anti-squadron, even if you're only getting your 2 or 1 hit, you get something unique.
Yeah,
the ones that aren't hits are accuracies, so you're getting it through.
Yeah, because if you're countering a unique squadron that has a token or something,
take that, named interceptors.
She does sound great, but like you said, but you could
like basically merely call kill Mauler or something with this, couldn't you?
But really, would you shoot it with Mauler? Would you really?
No, you wouldn't. But that's what I'm saying. Like you'd.
I think we're just lazy. You're just like, everybody gets a bit. It's fine. I'll just move to where I already am.
You get a damage and you get a damage.
More AoE than like all the large battleships in the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we see her that much. Maybe.
I'll be running her. I love A-Wings.
Give her a go.
Yeah.
I think she could be good with Rican because she's just so annoying to kill. She can hang around for ages and then still not die.
I like we're able to do things, not just, you know...
just die.
Rican's so lazy, he doesn't even bother moving. She's on the board until like the end of the turn.
Yeah. I'll do it in a minute, guys. Yeah. You know, this guy's dead.
I'll remember.
In a minute, like, I'll remember. Like, can I just finish watching this TV program?
Yeah.
Just give me a break.
Right.
Next one, the best one, by far the best.
Tendam, B-Wing Squadron, speed 2, hull 5, anti-squadron dice of 2 blue, 1 black, and then anti-ship dice of 1 blue, 1 black, 2 brace tokens, and the special text is, while attacking a squadron, you may spend 1 blue die with a crit icon. If you do, each other enemy squadron at distance one of the defender suffers one damage. And that's for 19 points. And that's insane. That's like Maul and Ithil, but insanely good.
Yeah.
It's not reliable.
But you need, I think you need Torrhen Farr with it. Because he's only got two blue anti-squadrons. And you only need a crit. Yavaris makes every squadron better.
Adar talent.
And Adar talent, yes.
But I think to be able to get that effect, you need Torrhen Farr with that. Because he's only got two blue, and it's a 1 in 4 chance of getting. So it's only every other time you'll get one. So yeah, flight controllers, Torrhen Farr, you need.
But again, it's like Shara Bay. You've got a use for your dead face down on the blue die.
Yeah. But with Maul and Ithil, you know, you need some way of intelling so that he can repeatedly hop around. How much is a jump master? 12 points, mm-hmm. But Torrhen Farr is 7 points.
Yeah.
And take your virus to do 2 damage guaranteed, at least 2 damage to a swarm of things.
If you can get the crits.
You can get the crits. But,
which you might do sometimes.
But you're likely to.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to note the fact that the defender itself does take damage, so there is the possibility there that you roll, say,
you're still going to take the damage you do accuracy.
But I'm saying you could miss with the rest of your shots. I mean, they could still get rid of the crit with the scatter.
Yeah.
But realistically, there's a very real possibility on that dice pool that you could damage everything
except
the person you actually shot at.
Yeah.
It's true.
The thing that makes this better than Maul and Ithil in my mind is that Maul and Ithil, his effect is from him.
Yeah.
Whereas this is from the defender. So whereas Maul has to like jump into the swarm,
and
crawl up to the swarm,
but
shoot something, and then
Tenma moves 2 and has a range of 1. True, Mauler moves 3, so he's still more range.
This is where you have a talent.
I think it's great because it's AOE. It's great for the Rhymer balls where they all stick within one of each other.
Yeah,
hit Rhymer and then everything within one of them, which is all their squadrons. take splash damage. Perpetually just chasing around the ball, just hitting Rhymer.
Because Rhymer's going to get hit because once you're going to brace away the crit token.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, so I don't think he's as good as we maybe think he... I think he needs more to make him more consistent. He's only speed 2, you can avoid him.
But if you're teching Beavings anyway, I mean...
Yeah, absolutely.
You're talking about Yavaris, the other
Beavings. Yeah, if you're going to do that anyway.
What I love about him is he's a Beaving who's got very strong anti-fighter game. I was talking earlier about how I don't like the fact that you've got some really cool fighters in here that are really going to win the fighter game.
Yeah.
Okay, but once you've won the fighter game, what do you do?
Yeah,
do you really want to take 100 points out of the fighters? Like, what have they been doing to you? You haven't been doing that? But all
B-Wings can do that.
What?
They will do 3 blues, which is still good.
There are better options for versatility, I'd say, than B-Wing. But this guy, he's got the versatility.
And he's good at the moment because there's very few people who take low cav fighter count. Lots of people take lots of fighters, so he's going to just hit loads of stuff and do loads of damage. Effectively.
I dread to think what my average fighter count is for
a player. Apart from you.
See?
Right.
They never expected to see low fighters.
So, in summary then, probably nothing that's actually going to change the meta of you can just fly stuff in and intel, but some really cool tricks, I think. And I'm looking forward, because a lot of them are unique.
Yeah,
but they're all unique, aren't they? Yeah. So I'm looking forward to trying some of them out in Karelian campaign
I think it's going to be nice. I think it's going to diversify squadrons.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
So you're not going to have the case of who's learned the correct activation order for this go-to list the best.
Yeah,
I think
there'll be spanners. You won't see the same list every time. There'll be some people would have different tech because they prefer a different way or they try to choose something different.
But I mean, of course, you could always time out by the end of round 2. If 10 num shoots 3 times into an X-Wing swarm with Biggs, and Biggs tries to work out his optimal way of...
What, and you get to 2 hours 15 minutes before
just shifting down around 10 num.
I know, because it's an effect. It's not an attack as such for the others. So.
Fair point.
It's the same
as shut down.
Yeah. But potential counter, very fair.
Well, there's a lot of different effects in all as you do them in there, but the only thing that really could maybe get the intel is that Sabre Squadron with the snipe, but it's not really enough on its own to...
Yeah, but to, the next...
Maybe if
next,
you add it with IG-88,
when they have more
add it with IG-88 as well, and you could maybe... You could realistically kill vanilla...
He's never used enough.
You could kill vanilla intel stuff, definitely. But the trouble is with IG-88 is he can never finish it off on his own, but now he's got Sabre Squadron, he might be able to do at least Jump Masters and...
2 4 attacks? Yeah.
To do Jump Masters, and he might even realistically kill like a Dengar or something. We went on a lucky,
yeah.
What
IG needs is like to get buddy up with Agent Callus. You know, squeeze Callus into the aggressor. Yeah, and then just like Callus can be like, "Yo, let you roll an extra dice there, and just take those uniques out."
With the controllers as well.
With flight controllers,
six dice.
Or if you flight controlling.
He doesn't have Sworn, but you know, six blues is still.
How would I have words about that?
Cool. Right. Shall we look at the objective? Oh, there's one actual other. Is there one? We'll talk about at the end, which is the changing of the timetables for the tournaments. We'll talk about that quickly at the end. So, yeah, we'll move on to what is your objective? A preview of the new objectives from the Karelian conflict. Who's at the start?
I've got the first one. So this is a red objective. It is close range intel scan, which I love so far. So set up, place obstacles, adding the two dust fields as normal. Special rule, while one of the second player's ships is attacking your ship, the attacker may spend one die with an accuracy icon. If it does, the attacker's owner gains one victory token. While one of the player's ships is attacking your ship, the attacker may spend two dice with accuracy icons. If it does, the attacker's owner gains one victory token. So, basically here, in this game, when you're attacking, if you're a second player, you can sack off one of your accuracy dice to get 10 points straight on the board. If you're the first player, you can sack off two accuracies for one victory token. So you're effectively pulling accuracies out of your dice pool to get points instead.
Is it worth just talking about what the dust fields are as well? So they're quite, I don't know how big they are because we can't really see, but they're quite big, long and thin, aren't they? Yes. They look long for sure.
That's what she's saying. The effect is.
Well, one of the second player ships attacking.
Do we know what dust field effects are? Apart from just their
you can't shoot through them.
Can't shoot through them at all?
Can't shoot through them, I thought it was the effect of dust
field. I'm pretty sure that's what it does, yeah.
Outrageous, okay.
And squadrons can. Ships can't shoot
can, yeah, no,
ships can perform in any attacks that would trace line of sight across the token.
Okay.
Squadrons can attack through a dust field, but their attacks are obstructed.
I mean, this.
How much a victory token? 10 points.
10 points for a victory token. So
pulling accuracies out.
So if you think you can effectively get 10 victory points on every attack you fire, even if you don't do any damage. So my initial thought on this was... Against the Tinners, you really need an action token to stop that scatter.
You're not going to spend it, are you?
No, you're not going to spend it against the Tinners. But if you have this objective here, what it means is if you're taking your H9 turbulators, you're taking your Homeworld Gunline, but if you come across something you don't need it, all of a sudden you're just raking your points.
So you're getting
rewarded for trying to counter whatever the emerging best
is. One that comes with Liberty, which is when you have an accuracy, add another accuracy to your pool.
Yeah.
10-point laser.
Well, obviously, without that... The first place not getting points without that. Because you've got to drop two accuracy dies the first place to get 10 points.
That's an expensive laser as well. It's like 10 points, I think.
Yeah, it's going to get you 10-point victory points per
shot. I think, really... It's only the second player that's going to be scoring this out.
Yeah.
Because no one's dropping two accuracy die. Unless you've got some, like you roll two accuracy... Yeah. You've
got two accuracy and blanked everything else, and you go, well, I might as well have 10 points. I've done nothing. Yeah. I might as well have 10 points.
I'll take the 10 points. Yeah. Meanwhile, the other player's doing that every single shot.
So you have to build your list around that objective, really, to get.
I think it's a strong. If you've got accuracy heavy steel with dual flotillas, I think that's a strong play as a counter to what if they brought something that you don't need your accuracies for.
Good with Torrent Fire as well, because whatever you roll into with blues, just. You know, even if you've got the accuracy. Captain Jonas.
That's outrageous.
He's not even using it. Just use him for 10 points.
That's not okay.
If you can get him
where he's in wage one of two ships and you shoot them simultaneously with a gunnery team, you get 20 points for every Captain Jonas.
Or just spam Raiders and double arm. I don't want to see spam Raiders again.
It's cool, but I guess. And what it might do, actually, is it would be... The thing I hate about red objectives at the moment is just no one picks them because they're so bad. Because, like, advanced gunnery on, like, a home one or something, like, do not pick that. It's horrendous. And in Most Wanted, generally...
See, I love Most Wanted.
Don't pick that. If you've got a big ship and they've got a flotilla, just don't pick Most Wanted.
I'll do it and see what they do.
The wrong ships.
Get cocky with it.
So I find a lot of my games, people look to go, nope, not taking the red, it's between the blue and the yellow. That actually is good, but it's also balanced enough that they might go, oh, no, might take that. So it means they're not just going to jump into yellow and blue it.
I think you fall into a trap with that one. If I see that, I'm thinking, well, there's no way I'm scoring points off this. Look at their ships. They got a few accuracy upgrades that they go, well, you could easily get 30 points a turn for nothing really. The victory bands are quite tight.
Mm.
You know, what's easier? Kill a Corvette that's nipping around, maybe with a Kraken at speed 4?
Yeah.
Or just like fire a little bit and turn your dice to 3 points?
Yeah.
You need to attack 5 times to get accuracies to equal a Corvette kill.
That's true. If there's a Corvette at long range that you just can't kill,
just take your points.
You're just like, well, I'll take a couple of victory tokens to try and.
Cool.
So, yeah, I think that one's
not bad. Good for your list with eight things, because if you just roll accuracy, so I'll just take the points.
What's your max firepower? That, like, dice output of 8 Gazantes? Is it as much as like an actual like firepower list?
You're going to put out one blue.
You get one blue from each arc, basically.
Fair. So we max 16. What's the average of that? Yeah, 4 accuracies a turn. You'd definitely be there with home board on like H9s or something. Yeah,
the 134 points of squadrons are.
Yeah.
Sticking your ships over at the same time. It's not just, a list to roll.
That's what I said. I think it's more that if you spec your accuracies, taking that's going to be a really good kind of like just in case you don't come across against a list.
I think you might get 50, 60, 70 points at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't have had.
If you spec that way, your players are going to pick it, but we've got to drop something else instead. So.
Cool. Next up.
Next one, jamming barrier. On this one's yellow. You place all obstacles as normal, excluding the station, and replacing the debris field with the 2 dust fields, which we already said.
That's another thing about the red one, is actually that's 8 obstacles.
So it's extra
obstacles everywhere.
This is 6. Yeah.
It's just the same as usual.
Yeah.
After deploying fleets, the second player places 2 objective tokens in the setup area, at distance 1 to 5 of each other. Special rule, while attacking, if the line of sight is traced across the line between the 2 objective tokens, the attacker must choose to remove half the dice from the attack pool, rounding down before rolling. That's quite strong.
What do you use it for? Because it affects both. It does nothing for the only advantage the second player gets is they get to place them, right?
Yeah,
they do. Yeah.
It's the same. Once it's down, it's the same effect for both players.
Very good again if you've got a heavy bomber list. You don't want to be shot.
So you're just not getting shot. Like,
better because they needed it. I'm really thinking in combination with the previous one.
Uh-huh.
If you just spam H9 MC30s, like if you're against a gunline list, well, yeah, okay, they can't shoot you until you're on them. And once you're on them, you threw your jamming code anyway, because they're not going to pick the one that benefits you the best against their list.
Yeah, so
jamming barrier, you probably might pick it because you think it's not that good, but if you just stuck it there in front of their big hitters,
it's good against like multiple ships.
I think if I was doing close range, like you say, close range. If I was running a close range list and someone had like a long range Akbar gunnery list, I would want them to choose this, and I can be like, well, okay. Sorry, add 2 red dice.
There's no way
they remove half of them.
There's no way an Akbar player like picks it. No, absolutely no way. They're all about rolling bare, naked, unmodifiable dice, getting lucky and one shot to get an XD out of nowhere to take the sneaky whip every game.
I'm sure this will be good, but I'm just not convinced I'd ever use it, to be honest.
I think for
a fighter list, yeah, absolutely.
That's Buffy word.
Which is nearly every list at this point in time.
But I just didn't see much.
I think except for yours. Great if I had like a close range list, but then I'm thinking if I've got a close range list, I'm going to be wanting to go first and picking from their objectives. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then absolutely. They're going to have that in their
objectives. Out of the yellow objectives, though, I would definitely take that if I had my Yavaris list, because I just do not want to be hit. I want to get in close, I want to get my bombers in.
Yeah, you know what you're
I don't want ISD hitting me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can completely perfectly see for that. But
all the other yellows currently are rubbish compared to.
Agreed. I'm trying not to play lists like that at the moment. It's just because they're everywhere.
I'm still just loving my most squadron list.
All right.
It's working for me. Works for me.
Cool. So what's next up? The blue.
Blue. Okay, so we have got Salvage Run. Another debris field one. It's a blue objective. Set up. The second player places the station in the centre of the play area. Then, starting with the second player, the players alternate placing the remaining obstacles, adding the 2 dust field obstacles at distance 1 to 5 of the station. After placing obstacles, the second player places a total of 4 objective tokens in the setup area. Each token must be at distance 1 of the station and beyond distance 1 of all other objective tokens. After deploying the fleets, each of the second player's ships gets a navigate token. Special rule: when a player's ship reveals a command dial, that player may choose one objective token at distance one of that ship and remove it from the play area to gain one victory token. Victory token on this objective being worth 20 points. Nice. So my first thought is, that's a lot of words.
Yeah.
And in my experience, like, a lot of players, they don't pick the wordy objectives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. To me, I've read it through a bit, and it seems cool for if you want to play a game that has... So it has eight obstacles, I think.
Yeah.
Because you have the two dust fields in. But you're not really... Because the four objective tokens, although the second player places all of them, they have to be within distance one of the station, which by default has to be in the middle of the play area.
Yeah.
So you can have four, like, just on your side, and they've got to be distance one from each other. So you could probably get four just about on your side.
Yeah.
And I guess...
It feels like another contested outpost.
Well, actually,
it's 80 points, though, maximum.
Yeah.
As a fluffy player, I really like this, because you've got the station in the middle...
It's a blue version.
It has to be ringed. Exactly. It has to be ringed by obstacles.
Yeah.
And all your tokens around that thing.
Yeah.
So you've got a really clearly defined central point.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's like a contested outpost where, like, well, I'm just going to stay at the back here.
It's cool and fluffy.
With my super cheap BSD and, like, run a
it's
fire.
It's cool and fluffy, and I guess it favours big ships in that you will chuck a 14-hull Motti ISD through, and it'll take a bit of damage from all the obstacles. It doesn't matter, but you can't really chuck flotillas through this because they'll just get blown up.
You've seen it's Serenity. The movie in front of you, all the ships are merging through the swirling gas clouds, and you're saying, for me, I love this. I mean,
it's a great fluff wise, but I don't know, and you get a nav token, like, who cares?
Everyone wants nav tokens.
Yeah, which is why you take a navigator first and take a nav token.
All my ships love navving a command one.
Yeah.
So they want to stack something else.
Yeah. And if you want to use it to make your speed higher, just set your speed up higher on step one. Like, I don't know. It's probably better than the.
I would say I think it's very unfair to those players who rely on Garbo Libnis as their admiral.
All those hundreds of people out there.
It's distinctly cutting into his game.
Bring back the Garm meta.
Garm was savage with the course.
Was he?
with ever? Wave one.
I've never seen anyone use it. It was in.
I used to have good success with Garm.
That's probably because you're such a great player, though, Matt. rather than Garm being any kids.
Hashtag Dubai meta.
I think what you say, Matt. It's really cool, fluffy, looks awesome on the table. But
I do think as well, it's like a lot of some of these objectives go, but both players go for it. You just know that they're both in the middle. Good activate, you take one. Unaffected, I take one. Also, we both got 40 points each. It cancels out.
What kind of list is this going to be good with?
Interdictor.
Because you can just make a little path through the middle and just move them out of the way.
It's going to be like Parting of the Red Sea. Like, come on, tokens. Like,
that's awesome. Yeah. Any other lists this week?
I just think it's a blue contested outpost. It's essentially the same thing.
You've got to go to it, though.
You need to sit on the station.
All right. It's less points.
It's less points.
So you're not sitting on the station because you have to. It's when you reveal a command dial, you find one. So it's the American Intel sweep, isn't it?
When you reveal
a command dial, you're within one. Your other guys have to slow down, don't they? Your ships have to slow down so you don't overshoot them and go past them.
It could be good for mid speed lists. It seems to me you've got a lot of sort of like heavy fighter spam, and you've got your TRCs, you've got hybrid removal TRCs, you've got your slow roll block of clever, tricky little Yavarisy, malarkey shenanigans that rolls up slowly, really wants some slight hits. So you don't see many of those kind of mid speed lists anymore that kind of do a bit of it. Maybe because Yavaris obviously head towards the middle. I mean, it's fast enough to get there, I suppose, isn't it, for the middle? Yeah, you're right, it's tricky to think of a list.
I'm trying to think of something that this would be any good for. Like,
just that monthly, how many sticks does she get a list?
Not all objectives.
This might be one of those like slow burn ones that becomes good after you've played for a while and you've worked something
out. Minefields.
Yeah, like Minefields, and I've actually really loved Dangerous Set. Yeah, nobody did Minefields at the start.
I love Minefields.
But now it's actually really cool, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, wherever I go, I hit something. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, or you've got a Jags list and I haven't, and you've made me deploy into the front of your Jags list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be one of those, but I just can't see me slotting it into any archetypes that I run currently.
I think there's better options for every type of list than that objective.
Yeah. All right, next up.
We have a red card. We have Station Assault. Face obstacles as normal, excluding the station.
Then the second player places two stations in the setup area. Each station must be placed beyond distance one of all other obstacles and beyond distance three of both players' edges. Both stations are unarmed. Unarmed stations, sorry. Placed both unarmed station cards near the second player's ship's cards. Okay, so it's just another another ship currently for the player two. Special rule, first player ships and squadrons cannot resolve an unarmed station's effect to discard damage cards or recover hull points when they overlap it. So I guess it's just useful to the second player. There's 40 points up to play for this one. So second player gains 40 points for every unarmed station that isn't destroyed. The first player gains those points for destroying the stations.
And I think an unarmed station, so there is a there's a card that will tell you how much damage it has.
It's 10.
I'm assuming Karuk Freedom will come with They're not forced to a double core set.
If you want to play with this mission, you have to go and spend another 80 quid on a core set just to get the station.
There goes my convenient excuse to go for multi-BSD.
I think there's an objective later on where you have to have multiple GARMs.
So
it's an interesting one.
For me, it's a difficult one because it's 80 points if they don't kill it. If they kill one, it's nothing. They don't have to kill both. They just have to shoot one. Just focus fire one back.
Yeah.
And then it's nil-nil because you get 40 points each.
I think maybe again, because you're forcing a focal point. So if you've got a list that's really sort of firepower and toughness.
And I guess they might be saying as well, like if you, because it's 10 focus, well, you can spend 10 damage on that, which is a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Granted, there's no defense tokens. There's no brace.
Well, let's say you could place them right next to each other within one. So you could just stick them both right in front of you and just defend. So it's going to be a boring game.
Might VSD gunnery.
Well, I mean, as long as you get to the enemy and hold them up, even if you ram into them, you still sit here at +80.
You know what's going to be amazing? Interdictor.
Move them.
I sort of wish they had a couple of shields, maybe, right? A couple of top ones with shields.
Or some tokens?
Well, can you have your projection experts and the instincts stick an instinct next to it?
That would be kind of cool. But then I guess it'd be hard to do.
Once you start synergizing your competitive list to unarmed stations, you might try missing out on some of the key focuses of the game.
Yeah, you get in a niche. I think it's cool, but compared to some of the red ones, like it's not wanted or advanced gunner, are you ever going to take it over that?
Maybe if you're bored, watch something different.
So you're right. So again, Corellian conflict for cool narrative campaigns, cool.
Yeah,
but maybe not an instant impact on competitive meta.
Well, maybe they'll be thinking that.
What's interesting is this unarmed. Does that mean we're going to see some armed stations in some of the later ones?
I thought there was.
If I'm playing a campaign, I'm armed stations, Ricky. You're not coming in with your virus in the campaign, taking my stations out.
It's going to be my station shooting twice with your virus.
Oh, no, Ricky's such a bad man.
I know, because it's a ship, probably. So,
but the station doesn't move.
Okay. Should we move on to the next one?
Blockade run. So I go with that one. Blockade run. Red objective. Set up. The 3-foot edges of the play area become the player edges. Each player's deployment zone is within 2 range ruler lengths of his edge. That's 2 feet.
Yep.
The second player places all obstacles. Obstacles must be placed in the player area beyond 2 range ruler lengths of both player edges and beyond distance 1 of the other obstacles. The second player assigns 1 objective token to each of his ships. When a ship with an objective token is destroyed, the first player gains 1 victory token. End of the game. The second player gains 1 victory token for each ship with an objective token within the first player's deployment zone.
So race to the end.
So my first thought this was like, so they've noticed that a lot of games happen on only 1, 2 by 3 player.
Yeah.
And they found a way to leverage the internet. Because effectively, if you chop off the starting areas of this, you ended up with, what's that, a 5 by 3?
So if we get our head around this, it's a 6 by 4 normally.
Yeah.
So the
2 by 3.
It's a 6 by 3 normally, isn't it? Yeah. So the short edges become the player edges, and then you can deploy up to 2.
So you can effectively be 2 feet from the enemy, 2 range from the enemy, turn 1.
Well, that's the same as normal. You'd be 2.
It's usually 2 and a third, isn't it?
You'd be two foot and a bit. You could deploy right on your table edge and be 6 foot away from them.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to do that if you're trying to race to the end, though, aren't you?
Is that what you've got to do? You've got to get to
One person has to get to the other side.
I love this. My current multi-Corvette Liberty may deed list, because that's getting through. There's no way you're stopping that. Like,
just going to joke
like that. They're not even going to TRC. They're just going to take off. We're out.
It's going to keep their evade tokens.
Yes, GG. Nice try, B-Wings and Uvaris. Run away for all the points.
Corvettes and engine techs.
But again, if you're running that kind of list, you go for the initiative bid.
Yeah. Well, and also, if you're running that kind of list, no one's going to pick them.
No. So if you get to pick it, wouldn't you? If you win the initiative bid.
This is another list.
You see this.
If you see it in somebody else's list.
So if you're good bidding for initiative, you don't really care.
Because the second player's got to get through.
Yeah.
It's the person who has the objective in their list has got to do it. Yeah, so you're not going to...
You just wouldn't build for this.
I think it really helps some lists.
But hang on, it's at the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to get in the end of the game. So I just move up 2 feet and sit on one. Or like turn sideways, and then you jump into my zone, and you're just sat there, and you've got to either fly off a board or turn around and come back towards me. I think this one takes a bit of getting your head around.
It benefits more ships as well. That's kind of
Does each ship get
every ship gets 20 points?
But the more you lose, the more but the more you get through, the more you get.
So the 8 flotilla Kraken swarm.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
Get 160 points for the win. Just fly through. Yeah, it sounds like really interesting. It'd be a very different game. To other games.
Yeah. Really mixing it up.
Keep it fresh, definitely.
That's not the idea.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'll drive by feel. I think maybe this will.
Drive by.
A minor has been lacking for me about a drive-by.
Drive-by mode.
Clearly, you haven't played enough like naked Akbar red dice. that's gangster ass.
That is drive-by. Yeah. All right, sensor net,
blue again. After placing obstacles, the players alternate placing a total of 4 objective tokens in the setup area. Starting with the first player, each token must be placed in the setup area beyond distance 5 of both players' edges, beyond distance 3 of all other objects or tokens. When a ship reveals a command dial, if it's at distance 1 of at least one objective token, its owner gains 1 victory token. Then, its owner chooses one of the objective tokens. The opposing player must move that token. If he is the first player, he moves the token so it's at distance 1 to 2 of the current location. If he is the second player, he moves it so it's at distance 1 to 4 of his current location.
15 points. That is a lot of words again, isn't it? What's going on here? What is going on?
It's like a more advanced version of the previous Intel sweep.
It is, yeah. Like that you can move.
Yeah. So, but with Intel sweep, yeah, okay, right, I'll send one Corvette, one Raider, one Flotilla. It'll go loop around something. You look at it, start the game, okay, right, turn board, go here with the misbearing, they're upset up here, go there. Because they can get like 3 or 4 for your ships. They're going to move.
The tokens stay there as well.
It just moves.
What, please?
Yeah.
The tokens stay there. So you get 15 points each time you get one, and then you get to move in front it as of you well.
To just collect it on the next turn.
Yeah.
You just have it keep moving up the board with you.
So you can get kind of slow roll in front of you. If you get your speed right, but that's why your opponent's doing it, so they see your bearings.
Yeah, so
the other player moves it, so you could move it towards you or away from them or behind them.
So it's like if a ship comes in and reveals and it's got a
choices.
It's going to be mind blowing.
It's got a token to one side of it. It reveals its dial, and the other player gets to move it by a certain distance, depending on if he's the first or second.
They're not going
to
move it in front, are they?
No, behind.
He's obviously going to move it away.
They get it on the second time.
Yeah, because
you move it behind, they get it next turn.
No, because they're not going to move
it. Potentially.
It depends on the size of the base as well.
You drop your speed to 0 and stay where you are, and you collect that token next turn.
Worth it. I mean,
yeah, it would be.
Defense tokens are overrated.
I'm literally not going to comment on this mission because I think I'm going to have to play it about 5 times before I really know what the tactics are with it and how it works. But it sounds awesome. It sounds like so much fun.
I'd be very tempted to just kind of like, as soon as anybody gets one, I'll put it in front, but the wrong way from the fight. So I'm like, okay, just lead people away.
Hammer
what you want to. It's like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, they got
so many options.
Yeah,
I guess so good. That's the thing, yeah. If you make them turn their ship so they put the Nought shield facing hold zone that they have now facing all your cannons, but they're like, oh, but I can get those 15 points.
I have you now.
Don't do it there and regret it, and then they kill a squadron or something, and then that 15 points means they win the 6-5 instead of you because they got that last 15 points before that, and then flew off into the sunset.
I don't think I've ever had a game with anything other than like an 8-3 or like higher for whichever way it went.
Your lists are really much all or nothing. You lose or you win. So, you win big, you lose big.
It's a rebellion. What do you want?
Yeah. So I think what do you think?
I think you'd move them out of the way.
What sort of lists? Like Aqua lists?
Lots of ships, I think. Yeah. So you've always got something. You're limiting where they can put stuff that you won't be able to claim it again.
It's almost like it would work really well with a flotilla spam.
It's a lot of these objectives that seem to be.
It's almost like trying to encourage people to.
Buy
more of the easy to produce ones.
Basically, what I've seen on shelves in gaming shops, they need to encourage people to buy more interdictors and more liberties, not more flotillas.
Well, the issue is, a shop orders 8 of each thing, and everyone's like, hey, right, I'll take one of those, I won't get.
And six of them.
Yeah.
Proportion.
So how many E-Wings do you need in your next list?
All the E-Wings.
So six packs.
That was another thing that they said at Worlds, the FFG organised play set. They said every single list that was at the tournament had one or more flotillas in. Every single
cheap activation.
Great for them. Yeah. Right? How good are they?
Yeah.
How good are flotillas?
My favourite thing is to put close range at the front of an ISD2 and go on it.
Yeah, do you want to waste your dice on me?
Yeah.
And if you don't roll the accuracy, you really wasted your dice.
Oh, you're leading shots. That didn't work either.
I played a game against Ben, against his sick list that he's going to probably win next week's tournament with.
Sick.
And I played an Intel sweep, and I think he beat me 8-2 in the end, but he would have beaten me 10-0 if I hadn't got the last token. And he totally did me. He had this ISD right in front of it. Although I managed to get obstructed behind an asteroid, and my flotilla that was collecting it was just there in front of him, and he had initiative, and he rolled and did not get the accuracy. So I picked it up and flew off. But it was literally, it just came down. I think it was a 10-0 went to a 7 or something. It literally came down to 3 points on 75, because Intel sweep is 75 points.
Oh, yeah, whoever wins has the
whoever wins. It wasn't a 150 point swing, but it was a 75 point
swing.
Okay,
fair, okay.
Oh, no, it was 75, and the flotilla got away, and the flotilla was like 40 points. Because it had my.
Who's putting 5 points on flotillas? What's going on?
I think it had the Gemma on it.
Cheeky.
So it was like a 115 point swing, him not running accuracy on that.
Would you make that play at all?
I wouldn't have taken the list I took there. But no, it was,
sounds good.
Well, no, I had nowhere to go because my foot was heading that way, so that's what I had to commit to. I just hope that he didn't roll an accuracy, and he didn't.
Well, they need the stormtroopers burning the guns, you get more hits that way. Yeah. I get a bad rap, stormtroopers.
All right, what's the next one?
So we just said that, didn't we? So navigational hazards. Set up. So there's a blue objective again. Set up. Place obstacles as normal, excluding the station. Then the second player places the station in the setup area beyond distance 1 of all obstacles and beyond distance 5 of both players' edges. Special rule. When a ship overlaps an obstacle and suffers 1 or more damage or is dealt 1 or more damage cards, the opposing fleet's owner gains 1 victory token. End of round. Starting with the second player and alternating, each player chooses 1 asteroid or debris field that does not have an objective token on it and moves it to within distance 1 to 2 of its current location. Then he places an objective token on that obstacle. An obstacle can't be moved, so it overlaps a ship, squadron, or other obstacle at the start of the next round. Remove all objective tokens from the play area. So this is whenever your opponent hits an obstacle, takes a damage, be it shield or card,
right?
So that's your debris and your asteroid fields. If your opponent does that, you get 15 points there on the dot. Okay, every time they do it. At the end of the round, between you and your opponent, you're moving all the obstacles distance 2. Like, all that objective token wording, that's just a way of tracking which one's been moved. And that's actually written in there. Like, I don't think that was needed, but it could have been a much cleaner card to write, I think. But they made it clear for all those people that can't read plain written rules in English. Not that I'm bitter at all. So yeah, you've got moving obstacles in that Armada game.
Yeah.
I like that.
Every round?
This is crying out for Dodonna, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, crazy. And Jaina's Light.
I love Jaina's Light.
Because it's only when you suffer damage, obviously, Jaina's Light would not...
I think this punishes those lists that want to, like, move slowly, draw you into there. Mm. So maybe be into one.
And there's no... Oh, there is a station, so you do get a station as well.
The station doesn't move.
Everything but the station.
Yeah.
Mm. It's an interesting one. It's very, very different.
What, the objective tokens just marking that...
It's just a way of tracking which one's moved already this round.
Yeah, sure.
I said, I don't think I need to write that into the card.
Cool. No, that seems like a lot of fun as well. Again, changes the game a little bit.
For me, it's like minefields, but more interesting.
Mm.
Cool.
Mm.
I mean, if your opponent really screws up, you get a lot of points.
Going to add a bit of extra time to your game.
Next one.
Yeah, some people
next
want to play that
one, game. Solar Corona. This is another one of those interesting ones.
So it sounds like two different brands of beer.
Yeah, good.
It's very strong. So there's a blue card. Setup. The first player must deploy all his ships and squadrons before the second player. After the second player deploys ships and squadrons, the second player must choose one of the 3-foot edges of the play area to be the Corona. Special rules. While a ship is attacking, before resolving any attack effect, if any portion of the Corona is inside the attacking hull zone's firing arc, the attacker must discard one die with a target icon from the attack pool if able.
So it's sort of like a blinding rule.
Yeah, I assume this means if
that's an accuracy
inside your firing arc. That means if you draw a line from your base all the way into infinity, and if that line touches the Corona at all at any point, you lose an accuracy from your pool.
So what you do is you deploy. You see where your opponent deploys, then you deploy on one flank. That's the Corona.
Yeah.
Run down it.
Yeah,
and then when they turn into you to try and shoot you, they're like,
blind. Yeah, and then you've got loads of flotillas that just scatter when they shoot you.
This is
super strong flotillas.
Again, why are they want?
Why do they need a buff? They don't need a buff.
I mean, maybe they're trying to draw attention to it. Maybe they're trying to make it active discussion.
This was built for the 7 Gazanti.
You just wouldn't pick it.
It does feel like one of those objectives that is pointless because you put it in and everyone just goes, not even going to consider it. It's a 50-50 between the other two.
But I mean, as you highlighted, it's the fact that like the first player deploys all his stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, the second player deploys all their stuff.
I think that was really strong. So even in wave 1 and 2,
even without the Corona
before there was many squadrons, and like I used to take like Hannah Dash and that was it, and nothing else, I used to take superior positions in my list because just deploying before somebody else was decent.
Yeah.
Because deployment, you can lose a game of Armada on deployment.
Yeah, oh, completely.
You could totally lose it. Yeah. And I see
your squadron cheap squadrons to stall me out. No, it doesn't work. You played all yours first.
I love this objective. I like the theme on it, but I do
have to ask the question fluff wise. Like, why can you not afford on your like massive battleship of 1,000 people?
Sunglasses.
doesn't the solar radiation interfere with the instruments?
Yeah, sunglasses.
So that's what they're trying to say.
But if it's not...
You try looking at the sun through sunglasses and see if your eyes are still okay.
sunglasses are excellent, have you?
Sounds like a challenge for you, right?
Challenge?
We need someone with the background in astrophysics.
But surely if it's some sort of like electromagnetic effect, it's much where you're looking, you're getting done by it. I don't know.
I think it's really good.
Does anyone else think it's cool or bad?
It's thematic. It's got a cool effect. I like it.
I think I'm going to definitely put this on a flotilla list.
It's just going to be one that's not picked, so you definitely want
to
have it.
I'm going to put it on a list that it's really bad with, so people pick it and they get to play it.
It's probably the only time you will get to play it, because no one will pick. If they know you've got loads of scatters,
I'll throw it with hyperspace assault and what's it called? Station attack or whatever they're called.
In competitive, it's going to be one of those ones to avoid.
Okay, next, again, this one looks like...
Another
this
one.
Is helping some stuff I didn't need help with.
Ambush. Great. So this is a yellow objective. Set up before deploying fleets, the second player sets aside all of his squadrons. After deploying fleets, the second player deploys all his squadrons. Each of his squadrons can be placed as normal or a distance 1 of an obstacle. But all his squadrons must be beyond distance 5 of the first player's edge. Special rule. After a squadron performs an attack against a ship, if the defender was dealt at least one damage card, the squadron is only gets one victory token. A victory token is worth 15 points. So, in summary, the second player, who brought the objective card to the game, they get to deploy their fighters as normal, or under an obstacle. So if you've got running like a little rogue swarm, you could get on someone's flank, do something like that. But the big one is special rule. I think it's key to point out here, it says, if the defender was dealt at least one damage card.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to get hull damage on for this. It's not superior positions. You can't just shoot them in the back, take a shield off.
Sure.
That's points. You've got to get damage card off. But of course, if you're Luke, cheating like he does.
Luke Adar Talon and boosted comms, like, so infamous.
Yeah.
One thing I've just noticed, actually, it makes me think it's not as good as it originally I thought it was, is the second player has to deploy all their squadrons after deploying fleets.
Yeah, they can't.
And normally you wait out, you squadron stall, so that's you don't get point. To do that.
Yeah.
But and it applies to both sides. So if they've got squadrons as well, and if you don't have squadrons, you're just not going to pick this, are you? If you've got like 55 points of A-wings, you're just not going to pick fighter.
But if you're like super cool, like main rebel, rogue swarms, running around doing cool stuff, I mean, a nice little ninja, like, yeah, about the flank here, you know, it could be fun. Yeah. Could be fun.
It's extra points for
what
you're doing anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is the way to get the 10-0 that Ben chases after all the time.
We're saying that some of these other things could be like, is there anything to pick it? This, they might pick, yeah. I think.
If they have squadrons as well, possibly, yeah, just to pick up some points.
Well, if you're running, Gazanti spam with fighters, then they're not going to want Sona Corona.
this
is in play all of a sudden.
All right, next up.
Do we have many more? Did they reveal?
There's not a huge amount. Yeah. We get
close.
Target and beacons.
Yep.
After placing, this is a red one, by the way. Setup. After placing obstacles, the player alternate placing a total of 4 objective tokens in the setup area, starting with the second player. Special rule. While one of the second player's ships is attacking a ship that is at distance 1 to 2 of the objective token, that attacker may reroll up to 2 attack dice in the attack pool.
No points for this one, but it's a pretty good bonus.
Yeah.
Oh god, Akbar would love this.
It's only 4 objective tokens.
Akbar would absolutely love it. As long as he's the second player, he would not love it if he's
Akbar's
the
always second player. Because you've got like, 3-4 ships?
Well, it's and not you a need them to reach you. It's not that great for some of the other red cards out there.
I'm with you on that, but I think that means that you draws people pick it. To pick it. Yeah.
It's very situational.
Like Chris is saying, all these things, like, nope, not picking that one,
one. Well, we played a game, didn't we? And I had home one. And I had advanced gunnery, and you just went, nope, what are your other two? You saw me, you were on my three, and you saw, as I pulled them over, you saw advanced gunnery in the top, and you just went, nope. Straight away.
I think it's
what are your other two? Let's have a look.
It's a potential picker, but it's just, it's okay. It's not.
I love that. I mean, like, when you're running your big Aqua broadside, so you're running at least as a bare minimum, you've got 2 assault frigates, you've got your MC-80 with Akbar. So you're putting out 5 or 6, you have little Jaina's Light there with Slave Turret, that's a 5 red die attacker outside with Akbar.
But you're going to avoid it. You're not going to want to go near those tokens. You're going to try.
Yeah.
It's not too many.
I bear in mind the red range, that's a lot of the board covered. I think.
It's 1 to 2 of an objective token, and 1 is really big. So 1 to 2 is effectively the width of the token, and then 1 to 2 each way. So it's quite a big circle.
So you see, I'm getting more encouraged. I mean, you're a top tier player, Ricky. You're very good. But the fact that you think it's not threatening is making me think I can get this in now.
I'm
reevaluating.
You're going to fall foul.
I'll
be destroyed by it.
If you're thinking, if you're rolling 5 or 6 red die, which you should be doing with the Aqua Bros, unless you go for like a TRC Aqua side list, we're getting this up to 4. You're going to get at least 1 or 2 blankets each one. And that's usually just dead. Unless you want to spend far too much money on turbolasers you don't need. I think this will make it so consistent, which is what the Akbar broadside is lacking.
I'm not saying it's rubbish, but I just think there are...
I don't want the Akbar broadside to be consistent. It's too scary.
Yeah, that's too play.
Akbar's back, baby, let's go.
that's a good one. Yeah, right, next. Planetary ion cannon.
I love this one.
This one sounds fun.
Have you got it, or Georgia?
It's yours. Go for it.
Planetary iron cannon. Yellow objective. Set up. After placing obstacles, the second player places 3 objective tokens in the play area beyond distance 5 of both players' edges. Special rule. At the end of the command phase, the second player may choose 1 enemy ship at distance 1 to 3 of an objective token and remove that token from the play area to perform an attack against that ship. The attacker is treated as if it is a ship with a battery armament of 4 blue dice, but is not friendly to any ship or squadron. The attack is treated as being at medium range, cannot be obstructed, can target any of the defender's hull zones, has the following critical effect. Blue crit, the defender must choose and exhaust one of his defence tokens. No victory point value for this card. So it's Hoth.
It's Hoth, yeah, it's really thematic. It's really cool.
Someone's firing large shots from a ground-based cannon into those Star Destroyers.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm a fan of no point up victory cards because it forces you to focus on more core aspects of the game rather than trying to.
But it makes it the ones with points make it easier to win big, which is what you need to win tournaments.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
I don't know that I like it. I think it'd be fun to play, but I just don't know. I mean, you can target any hull zone, which is cool because people are pushing shields around redirecting. Yeah. You can just hit them on the side with no shields on. But it's, yeah, and it can't be obstructed. It's four blue dice, though. It's not friendly to any ships, so you can't re-roll it.
Just
you
kill
can't
a flotilla straight out.
You could,
yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially if it's running around the Admiral.
A non-Motti flotilla, yeah.
Oh, non-Motti.
Well, no, you said it can be. Oh, you can be scattered. They can need a target.
You need accuracy and three damage. Four damage. You need four damage to kill a normal one. So you can't kill one. You can't one shot flotilla. Yeah,
but I think
you get a crit. You just remove the scout.
I think
but
they choose. They choose after they've spent their defense tokens.
If they
spent their scatter, then the crit is not in your tool.
I think you play this sort of like in the middle of the board. Rescue. I think you should be able to get two of these off in a game, maybe.
Yeah. How big are they? They're 1 to 3. So that's like a stick. Is that like a whole? It's more than 3/5 of a stick, right?
Really good for the radio, this.
People know how long a stick is.
It's about yay long.
Can you not see my hands?
If you put it just in front of your ships and let them just have to fly through it to get to you.
I think you can probably block out most of the setup area.
Yeah, I think you definitely get one off. I think you should get two.
If you put them so there's less than a ship's width between the area, between each of them, you could basically mean they have to fly out into the non-setup area to get round.
It's after obstacles, so you could force obstacle heavy on one side.
Yeah.
You see where they place one, and then you put your three in that bit there. They're not going to go that way. They're not going to work on the obstacles.
Yeah.
Let's get right around the outside, then you go a bit heavy on the other side.
Interdictor, Pioneer of the Red Sea, move the obstacles around. The tokens stay where they are.
That's such interdictor better is covering.
You're really dying to bring it back.
You want one of these objectives to just be.
Sorry, was that?
Well, to be fair, we did say the interdictor needed some objectives.
Yeah.
So. Was that going to bring the interdictor better back?
To be fair,
it was there for that one night.
Moving dust fields could be really strong.
Yes.
Because you're blocking lines of sight and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Moving dust clouds.
And you can take three dust cloud objectives.
Can you? I thought it was two.
Just two.
There's one for each colour.
Oh, that's what you mean. Right, that's what you mean, yeah.
So you can force dust clouds.
Yeah.
Can you move it as well? Do you rotate it? And...
Oh, maybe.
I think you can. It's in the FAQ, actually. Yeah. We looked at that, didn't we, on our previous episode that we've now...
We were like, oh, that's so obvious.
But that wasn't one of the ones we said was so obvious.
But I think the other cool thing about this is the blue crit.
Yeah, here it is. I've got it. Obstacles moved with grav shift reroute are restricted from overlapping tokens, obstacles, and ships. If an obstacle overlaps one or more squadrons, move overlap squadrons out of the way. An obstacle moved with this effect can be rotated as long as no part of the obstacle is beyond distance 2 of the original position.
That's going to be tricky.
You can't just like swing it around.
Given they're so long, as soon as you start swinging. They've got the whole light.
You wouldn't be able to rotate them much, but you might be able to spin them a certain way.
I think if you start rotating them, you quite rapidly hit a 2-inch move from one part of it.
Yeah.
So you could, if you spun on the middle, you can bring it a bit. If you keep it exactly as,
you could do it in 90 degrees.
But what's the original position? Because
they're long and thin, you just want to do a 90 degree, not a 180.
They look like they're big. They might not be as big as we think, but
I think what it means is no part can move more than two.
No part of it can move more than two itself.
But you're spinning it only 90 degrees would still be, which is what you want to do. It's
really
long and thin.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool.
I think a really key part.
Still not enough to make me ever put a detector in any list, but there you go.
I think, back to the card itself, I think the timing is important. At the end of the command phase, it's before HAL activates. It's before all the ships are activating.
Mm.
Okay? So this is not you're not looking for this to kill a ship. You want to maybe punch out shield facing for then your first activation to go in.
If I've
come in with the Liberty because it's super cool and it flies really fast and really maneuverably, if you can punch the shields first,
And also if you can exhaust its redirects as well.
Yeah.
Or something like that. If you've got Avenger lurking.
Yeah.
So exhaust one of his defence.
The defender chooses.
That's very male centric there. His defence token. Very interesting. If you go for a big ship that you want to knock a shield off, they're going to have lots of defence tokens. They're going to do a contain or something on multiple of.
Yeah.
It's useful, but if you had the choice, would you rather them flip a defence token
Would you rather them take a crit to the hull?
Probably take a crit to the
hull. Yeah.
If I was choosing, I'd rather do it.
It's there mostly just in case they still they just go ping on the shields.
Is it a choice or is it just
is there a choice?
No, like your choice about the crit blue.
I think it has to be that crit.
You have to use that.
I don't think it can be the standard critical effect.
No.
It has the following critical effect. But it's an attack that has the following critical effect. But don't all attacks have a standard result like first damage?
Good question.
Maybe this is something that's going to be
in FAQ the fact
already before it's even out.
Yeah, but
does it say all attacks have a crit effect or all ships have a crit effect? Probably just says all attacks because squadrons do it as well.
If you have a crit die, you could resolve
the crit effect. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering whether it said ships have a following and this isn't a ship. But it's not going to be that because it's squadrons as well.
But young Chris, it is a ship. Does it not say? Because the attack is treated as if it is a ship. With a battery
armor
before.
There you go. Yeah. Could be. Could be.
Where's the microphone?
Could be.
I can't drop that.
No. So you can take the crit or you can take the loss of
the standard critical effect is
just everything. Every attack has it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. The jury's out on that one for me. It's thematic, awesome. I'd love to play Hoth. I'd love shitloads of rebel transports flying away, and then ISDs taking one hit. It's going. I can't do anything. It's one of the worst CGIs in that film.
I'm going to start building lists. I'm going to pick objectives first. You know, was it Hive Labs list builder? Like by far, like the best one for Armada, like without a doubt.
Armada Warlords.
That's the one. Yeah. It starts with the objective, doesn't it, at the top?
Yeah.
Now we know why.
Yeah.
Pick the fluff.
Pick that first.
And then work out how you're going to make a viable
list. Make a list for the fluff.
Forget the commander or forget.
All right.
I think it's cool for like four Avenger, maybe.
But people
are unlikely to exhaust the token that you need them to exhaust. But if they've only got one token, you know, if you've beaten them down and somehow they've got one
plus
token.
Plus, you've probably got Overload Pulse anyway.
Yeah.
Trust in the one shot Iron Cannon.
Or for that. Or just stripping off the shields of one facing, you know. And just before you activate your bombers to go mad at it, so you can get all your Y-Wings to have all the crit.
And the crit doesn't need the shields to be down for it to take effect.
Key and Firelander.
Yeah, Key and Firelander as well.
Mm-hmm.
Those sorts of things, I think it's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the end of all the spoiler objectives.
Just some savage
card art.
Yeah, I'm just massively looking forward to some more thematic stuff, because I'm kind of a little bit getting a little bit tired of 134 points of squadrons with two intels coming across the board for me, and I'm sending 134 points of squadrons with two intels straight back across the board.
Have you ever thought to yourself, what does the word Uvaris actually mean? Like, where does this come from?
Yeah.
It's not going to change, I don't think, at all on the next wave. Maybe the wave after, but...
Those objectives might mix things up a little bit.
And the ships' abilities, we don't know what they come with. Yeah, for the most part. We knew some of them.
The squadrons, yeah.
But the squadrons are... You're getting a whole pack of new squadrons, they're not going to be crap. They're going to be good.
What kind of was the objective that you could sack off your accuracies for 10 points?
I think it was red. I think it was red.
Was it red?
Yeah,
it was red. That's a shame.
Squadrons are strong. They're still going to be strong for a while.
That's a lot of... A lot of potential new objectives to play around with. It's funny because the way objectives work at the moment, you know, there's certain ones that are just so overplayed. I want to have a day where we, like...
You're not allowed to use them. You can't use any of the old ones this day.
You must play Armada the way I tell you to.
This objective, even if I am first player.
I think I'm gonna start, like, when I see the new ones in other people's lists, I'll be like, oh, let's see how that plays.
Yeah, that's what all my opponents used to say when it's on minefield, isn't it?
But it'll be interesting. I look forward to them.
Okay, just want to talk very briefly about they changed the trap. They've announced about regionals coming in. I think it starts again in... Oh, sorry, Store Champs starts again in May, because I think Worlds is going to be in May.
Yes.
And the only thing I wanted to mention, because I think we've obviously heard that before, is that they're talking about, in one of the articles, having some of the World's Attendance cards... Two of the World's Attendance cards in each Store Champs kit.
Right.
How cool is that?
We're seeing Recon cards?
No, because it'll be the whatever the next one is for Worlds.
This one.
It's fine, I bought one on eBay for 20 quid. You can have it for 50. And I'll even roll over and let you 10-0 me with it. Because I couldn't stop you. So.
Play for it. No holds barred, no Yavaris match off.
Yeah, we could do that. Everyone puts 10 quid in, winner takes the card. Yeah. So anyway, and apparently they're also going to try and encourage stores to show Worlds on the Twitch feed at the store during the store championships, because the first weekend of store champs will be the Worlds.
Well, it's not as you get to play another game at the same time as you're watching it.
Yeah, you just want to see two massive bomber lists go into each other and both die. Yeah.
Actually, I find it interesting if I was playing it for the minutiae, possibly. Yeah. But it's very hard without, unless you've got like a professional commentator. I mean, they're very good, the guys who do Twitch streams. Mm-hmm. Unless you know someone who knows the game super in depth,
yeah,
kind of to the point where they can almost see exactly what's, just know about what's going on, the film is happening. Yeah. And break it down for the audience. I know we can use a lot of jargon sometimes, which maybe we shouldn't, but yeah. So yeah, a lot of people, you look at the Twitch stream, is it obvious when a commentator says something that, like, oh, do you play the game?
Yeah.
More prevalent, maybe the XP ones, possibly, than the
Arcana. Yeah, I think the commentary was pretty good for the Worlds they had for FFG. But I know what you're saying. With the squad, because it's much more fiddly with the squadrons. With like X-Wing, there's three ships aside or whatever. You know what they're going to do. But with Armada, there's like four ships aside and like 12 squadrons aside. It's loads of upgrades. It's much more fiddly.
So yeah, no, it's
2.5 hours long.
Yeah,
you've got to bring the squadron dials in, so you always take the damage track without picking the thing up.
Cool.
But I think it goes, talking about the all-rest play thing, I think it goes, speaks a lot to FFG.
I think they're brilliant. And that means we're going to have a really intense, because we're having regionals in
Storing
January.
Regionals,
well, we haven't got any stores.
They're skipping
them.
Stores, yeah. So
we've got the summer kit next week. We've got regionals in January. Then presumably nationals will be March-ish sometime. Worlds in May.
Sweet, then
straight back into store.
Yeah.
Let's get the league.
No, Karelian Conflict. That's just a campaign.
I'm assuming Wave 6 comes out in between there sometime.
You're a league kit for that?
It's a campaign kit, yeah. It's not like a league, it's the proper campaign.
We turn up with 3 or 4 games. Smash your campaign out in a day and then go home with our alt huts.
All the alt huts. Everything participation.
Yeah, everyone gets
it. That's a good play with FFG. Especially with the thematic campaign.
It's like all their cooperative RPG stuff. Yeah. It's just like everyone gets everything.
Yeah. I don't want to be having to bring like souped up, shit boring Reekin list or like massive Roman fighterball list just because I want the fucking alternative art for a thing. We'll ruin everyone's campaign. Everyone's brought fluffy lists like the Hoth list and stuff, and you've just brought a ridiculous list because
you want to win
the thing.
You're going to
that's what I'm saying. Matt's saying is that because everybody gets a card just for playing, I don't need to turn up with that. I can actually turn up and have fun just play whatever fluff I want to.
It's gonna be
because I know I'm going to get the alt arts anyway, so.
I think it's going to be, I want to see who fights over what cards when we do play.
And we just have to shuffle them all up, deal them at random.
You see, Ricky, at the end of the day, it's all about the game. Yeah.
We're not just letting you have everything.
You've got to be flexible.
Exactly.
You can't just rely on one.
No, I thought the league kit, there's 6 different alt arts, and it comes with 6 of each.
So, spend six weeks,
you get one.
No, it's not 6 weeks. It's you just play the Karelian campaign pack, I think. It's not like a league.
I thought the idea was like, if you're over 6 weeks, you get one each time you turn up.
No, I think it's a Karelian campaign.
We're just going to smash it in a day, aren't we?
Who cares? Yeah. We'll get 6 of us. We'll get one each.
We'll get all the cards.
I'm not waiting 6 weeks to get that last one. I want them on a day.
And that is why you fail.
I think Jim knows that we'll play a lot there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We do free publicity, you know. We,
yes,
your previous podcast.
Have we mentioned?
Based on the figures, the vast majority of people who listen to this aren't in the UK. So
should they visit Bristol?
Probably not. Bristol. Actually, and our top listener base in the UK is Stockport. So not within commutable range of Biggs. Oh, so
thank you, Stockport.
Thanks for
the rest of the world.
And let's be honest, it's mostly the US. So thanks US guys for listening. And well done for winning world champs and having top four world champs. Good stuff.
How many
we'll try. We'll try and send Ben next year and see what you can do against him.
Matt will be here to cross the streams. Don't worry.
Are you going to go? You're going to go. Mix it up.
Wait,
with the
I
US.
Thought you were going to win with the Black Squadron, aren't you?
No, we're going to lose in the final with Black Squadron.
Black Squadron. Yeah. A few others. And a 350-point fit. Yeah.
That's some crazy mission that doesn't really do anything.
I mean, you give away the initiative. You have to pick your guns. So.
All the dust field missions.
Yes.
Cool.
The Black Squadron and an Interdictor.
Oh, God.
Can you anti-squadron fire through a dust cloud?
No.
Can you fight a bomber through a dust cloud in return?
What I've got here.
It's obstructive.
So I got my topic.
It prevents ships from performing any attacks that would trace line of sight across.
So all your sneaky Y-wings, you just sit there shooting through with their torpedoes.
Can't do nothing.
No, because that's obstructed. The squadron is obstructed. Yeah.
B-wings. There's always a way.
Or scourges.
Or fire sprays. And,
yeah. No, put them down.
Nim.
Right, anyway.
So, yeah, thanks for any feedback you've given us. I think I'm going to try and change the intro and outro noise to something a bit more ear-friendly this week. Because
they'll have heard that by now, right?
Yeah, they should have. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
Are we apologising for...
They'll have heard it. So if you don't like it, then send in some feedback for next time.
Apologise for any broken eardrums.
By apologising, we're not accepting any legal responsibility for all damage incurred.
Turn down your headphones.
But yeah, we have now got a proper email address where you can submit feedback about anything you've heard or anything you'd like to hear or anything you don't like. It's comsnoiseuk@google.com.
gmail.com, not google.com.
comsnoiseuk@gmail.com.
That's correct.
We'll have that in the info as well.
Spelled in the same way as the podcast name and the critical effect card of the same name.
The best critical effect card.
Yeah, I think I dodonnelled it onto somebody the other day and made a point of telling them that was the thing, not the podcast.
Sorry, did you hear that I do a podcast?
Yeah. Of the same name of this card.
Yeah. We have
at least 47 listeners.
They even start using that as a business card type thing.
Yeah, that would be like a bit of a celebrity.
One day.
Right. Oh, you're not a celebrity in your own home. Sorry, Chris.
Anyway.
I'll leave quickly.
Yeah. Okay, so thanks for listening, guys. We're looking at doing roughly, when we started, we were going to think about doing about once a month, and I guess we're sort of keeping to that now. So I think our next one, we're going to try and do the tournament for next week, and we're definitely going to do that. We're going to try and fit in some feedback on the campaign. We're going to hopefully play a campaign.
Released, yeah.
If it's released, we're going to play it.
If it wasn't sunk in the ship.
And hopefully...
Matt says you could do a special on the start of the interdiction letter.
You do an hour Matt's such as corner.
Why the grav shift reroute is the card you need.
And how it interacts with every single objective, whether you're the second player or the first player.
How he never knew true love until he bought his third interdictor.
Right, on that unwholesome note, we'll sign off and we'll see you next time.